Okay, ready? Good morning and welcome to the State Water Resources Control Board workshop for January 4th, 2005. I'm Art Baggett, Chair of the Board, here with my colleagues, Vice Chair Pete Silva, Nancy Sutley, and Gary Carlton, and Mr. Katzel had a delayed flight and will be joining us in about an hour. We will not get to item 16, the Los Osos item, till 11 o'clock at the earliest. So if you're here for that and you want to go get some coffee, you've got some time. So item 16 won't be till 11 o'clock at least, not before then. So we've got a number of other items. Is there any member of the public wishing to speak to items not on the agenda? Okay. Is an item not on the agenda?
Yes.
What's the item?
New technology. Wastewater treatment technology.
Okay. Well, you allow 3 minutes for a public forum, so if you can. Three or four minutes? 5 minutes? Okay. Can you do it in 5 minutes? Okay. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Thank you. Good morning and Happy New Year for your first meeting, hopefully, of the new year. My name is Al Barrow. I'm a citizen for affordable and safe environment. We have a website, www.case-environmental.org, and we're promoting a better, cheaper environment. So, as you can see by the name, I prepared a PowerPoint presentation. If you could flip all the way through these real quickly, not this particular one. If you go back to where you started, just pick the one that says Nelson introduction. It'd be all the way back. Anyway, we want to present to you some technologies that will comply with the Port of Cologne water protection goals. Yeah, that's it. It's easily designed for any discharge permit with multiple applications from mild residential to severe industrial waste for various pollutions. Much faster to implement, especially when pretreatment exists. Ag Exchange reduces drinking water costs and health risks is one facet of this ponding type technology. Extends water supply and assures that there will be more water conserved. There's no sludge hauling in these ponds for 20 to 30 years, and only ash is the byproduct. The effluent water is beneficial for reuse and recharge, complying with the white paper of the DWR, the State Water Resources Control Board, and the Department of Health Services, which has asked that we start reusing about 50% more water in the state than we have been. This technology will help implement that goal. It's competitive with conventional systems. The capital cost is like a 4-to-1 ratio lower. Its strengths is that it saves energy on a 4-to-1 basis because it uses a natural type of system. The weaknesses are the footprint for the treatment is about 2-to-1. The treatment is composed of a series of new technologies, which I don't think the state has allowed at this point or has seen at this point. There's no sludge hauling required with this particular system. There's no overflows or shock because you have a 50-to-1 treatment storage capacity, and your on-site is 25 days rather than 48 days. I don't know if you know it or not, but last week, Morro Bay treatment plant had 2 sewer spills, and we see about 5,000 of these sewage spills throughout the coast of California every year. So this would control that, and you have centralized control, which is nice for the regulatory people. The new technology is being used throughout the United States and North America. The benefits of this technology is it reduces labor 4 to 1. Most operators can have a low level of certification, much fewer operators. The resources allocated for this project are Ag Exchange team. The Bay Area has an Ag Exchange in Monterey, which uses some similar technologies. There's an advisory team that comes with this technology with Dr. George Shabaniklis. The components are operational in North America. And if you have a step collection system, such as the one that we have designed by Pentair Pumps, who's a $3 billion company, and they're no slouch, you can save yourself a lot on the collection. There's 6 engineers from 3 companies that put this together. The effluent remains on site 25 days or more for natural treatment. They have what they call, can you run through these, sir? Excuse me. Staff, could you run through these real quickly? You haven't got it yet? Okay. Just cycle through. I want to show some pictures of some of the ponds and things like that, so just go right on through. This whole thing is not applicable. I would just skip this one and go to the next one. These are highly engineered treatment ponds. Now, the difference between that and a standard system is a highly engineered pond will have a lot of these new technologies that you haven't used or seen before here. They have float sink aeration. They have fine bubble aeration at the bottom of the ponds. They have have you seen an old heater, the old floor heaters that were steam? They have this kind of circular oblong movement of water through that, and so it distributes everything very clearly. I'll hurry this up. Easy access, easy to maintain, very safe. You won't have overflows. The ash is removed every 20 to 30 years. The pond insulation takes about 6 months. And usually that's fed with a step tank effluent pump collection system, but it can be designed for standard sewage as well. Purple pipe is another way of using this water for reuse after it's been treated this way. The ponds are lined. They provide an ag reservoir for exchange and purple pipe reclamation. They could be used in flood control. I respectfully request that the board agendize this item and request staff to review technologies for loan certification at next opportunity. And you can submit your questions to Citizens for Affordable and Safe Environment. And I'll leave the address, P.O. Box 6931, Los Osos, California. Or you can send them to abarrow@sbcglobal.net. All the answers will be by licensed engineers. And I have for you a CD, 2 CDs. One is on the presentation that I was going to do today, and the other one is on the technologies, and I have a pair for each one of you. May I leave it with you now?
You could leave it with a clerk.
That would be
helpful. Are there any, just out of curiosity, has this been done in California before?
As far as I know, the engineering firm tells me they have it all. They have representatives everywhere but the but California. It hasn't been used. It's been used new technology.
Okay. So you're probably aware we don't certify technologies. We just require effluent standards. And leave that up to the entity designing and getting the permit to deal with the technical issues. With that, any other members of the public? Not items not on the agenda. If not, aside from item 6 and item 12, I've been asked on the consent calendar. We will pull those two items. All the other items remain on the consent calendar. So any objection? Not. So items 1 through 12, except for 6 and 12, are, if you're here for those, we're done. Item 6, Darren, do you want to give us an update? I think this is a pretty exciting item, so if you could give us I think some people might be interested in a quick overview of this one.
Good morning, Chairman Baggett. Good morning, Chairman Baggett. Let me start off again.
Start all over again. It's a new year.
Scratch that. Good morning, Chairman Baggett and fellow board members. I'm Darren Paul Hemus with the Division of Financial Assistance. I'm presenting item number 6, which deals with the topic of sustainability. Wait for Debbie, do we get the slide up?
What's up?
There it goes.
There we go.
Is it coming back?
I think we could.
Everybody else will just have to listen to my great verbiage here. We had cool pictures to go with it, too. Sustainability is the practice of preserving a long-term vitality of local communities by balancing three things: environmental, economics, and social resources. Sustainability is not a new concept, but is coming to the forefront as one of the primary considerations when making decisions, especially as we are challenged by seeing the limits of our resources and the ever-increasing demands being placed on them by our expanding population. The water boards have taken into consideration the best use of our precious water resources for our present and future generations. This resolution before you today merely recommits us to that ideal. Discussion with the water board staff and borrowing ideas from other states like Maryland indicate that there are three main components to success and implementation: education, permitting, and financial assistance. The water boards administer programs that are critical to the sustainability and quality and quantity of water resources in California. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's action plan for California's environment also calls for the protection of California's water resources and water quality restoration. Water board staff should be a catalyst for encouraging sustainability among local communities, local government agencies, and doing this through partnership, education, and regulatory and financial assistance activities. Some general examples of sustainability practices and water resources that the water boards have done and will continue to be leaders in are preserving the open space, water supply reliability, water restoration. And the next slides will give examples of existing projects administered by the water boards that have demonstrated sustainability. First is a project done by in cooperation with the Nature Conservancy and the State Revolving Funds. We acquired 2,000 acres in the San Diego River watershed, preserving open space to provide protection of water quality from increased nutrient loading, preservation of natural water functions, including water retention, habitat preservation, and protection of primary sources for the drinking water for the city of San Diego. The Division of Financial Assistance has also participated in the Dry Creek Vineyard Revegetation Project. This complete project demonstrates core principles of sustainability: watershed and disadvantaged use. This planning event involves students from Cardinal Newman High School, Mark West Elementary School. Education is an important component to sustainability and development. A couple more. Next one. There you go. Now you're up with me. Ocean Plan prohibits discharges of areas of special interest and biological significance. These marine areas are designated as a state water quality protection areas under California law. Existing stormwater discharge requests, exemptions from ASBS prohibition need to be incorporated best management practices. New discharges will be allowed into these areas. Next slide. The Division of Water Quality Stormwater section is one of the areas, deals with one of the areas most impacted by development. The water boards have and continues to play a major role in educating our local counterparts on how to use low-impact development techniques and protect our water resources from runoff. Next. The Central Coast Water Board has taken several items to their board in 2004 relating to sustainable practices like conservation, preservation, and water quality improvement. Their key areas of focus are riparian buffer zones, low-impact development techniques, and innovative stormwater management. The Central Coast Water Board staff will be reporting back to their board quarterly in 2005 to discuss their progress. Our own Office of Public Affairs has the Erase the Waste campaign. Erase the Waste is a two-year, $5 million campaign launched in August 2003 to educate Los Angeles County residents about stormwater. This project demonstrates the educational component of sustainability. Outreach includes neighborhood action kits, outreach materials, radio and television advertisements in multiple languages. And finally, committing to a sustainability as a core value for all activities and programs is a proactive approach to maximizing and preserving California's water supply and water quality resources for current and future generations. This resolution is a commitment for the water boards to adopt sustainability as a core value for all water board activities and programs, and direct the water board staff to include consideration of sustainability in all future policies, guidelines, and regulations.
That's great. Thank you. Make sure that PowerPoint gets forwarded to a few cabinet secretaries. I think it would be very interesting. It's good work. Okay. With that, it remains on the consent calendar, the resolution for the board meeting. Item 12, John Rubin.
Good morning, Chairman Baggett, members of the board. My name is John Rubin. I'm an attorney that represents Westlands Water District, and I'm here to speak on item 12. As you're aware, or probably aware, Westlands has been allocated a portion of the fee that the United States Bureau of Reclamation has been asked originally to pay to help fund the Division of Water Rights. And because of that relationship, Westlands has a significant and vital interest in the fee program. I wanted to start my comments out by saying that I spent a lot of time trying to limit my comments here. Obviously, it's an issue that easily expands beyond the scope of just the issue before the board today. And with that, I will try to limit my comments. And the principal comment that I have is a concern that the staff report's discussion and the framed issue that it has presented to the board mixes two important concepts. And it's the concept of reimbursing the staff or reimbursing for staff costs related to the administration of reclamation's water rights, right, and the payment of a transactional fee. As described, the contract would continue the existing practice of USBR reimbursement, right, for certain regulatory services. However, as proposed or as described, the contract would limit the amount of cost recovered to the amount of the transactional fee. And as the board staff recognizes, in most cases, the transactional fee does not recover the full cost of the services. Right. So as a result, what Reclamation would be asked to pay is the transactional fee, not a recovery of cost for services for administrating Reclamation's permits. And what this does is mixes these two issues, inserting into the fee arena a concept which has not been inserted before, and again, that is a fee essentially for services provided. It just doesn't connect.
Maybe we can cut. So I guess you're proposing that we deduct the Bureau's contribution from the fees charged to contractors of the Bureau.
Frankly, I thought about what kind of a proposal I wanted to make, not just to complain. I
mean, based on what you're saying, that would be the logical extension.
Well, the conclusion that I came to is just the conclusion that the recommendation that the staff has made, it just seems to be arbitrary, that you can't ask the board to enter into a contract for services rendered when in essence what you're asking for a transactional fee recovery, and the transactional fee has no relationship to the services provided. And unfortunately, I don't know what to recommend in this circumstance myself.
Well, that's the whole challenge of the water rate fees, as we're all aware.
Well, that's right. And I guess what adds to my confusion is the fact that as part of the stakeholder group, stakeholders did suggest a fee for service. And what
right.
we were told is that's not feasible for a number of administrative reasons. So even if it were, I'm not sure how the staff would administer in terms of reclamations activities a fee for service when
wow.
that's not possible for other permit or license holders. So with that, I have two additional comments, and they're more general. The recommendation speaks of executing a contract for multiple years. What I recommend, given the circumstances here, is if the board is inclined to authorize or delegate the authority to negotiate and execute a contract, is that authority be limited to a one-year contract so that the contract could be adaptable to the changes in circumstances. And the last point that I have is there is a statement in the report that talks about the willingness of reclamation to pay the fee, and makes a statement that given the term of the proposed contract, it is unlikely that reclamation would pay the fee, and I'm not sure if that's necessary either. So with that, I have no further comments unless the board has questions they would like me to attempt to answer.
No, I think it's an interesting conundrum for some litigation that we're involved in. So
thank you very much.
So we will probably put it on pull it off consent for the board meeting and have some discussion prior to that.
Thank you.
Ms. Craig. We have two other cards. John from USBR, do you want to, if necessary, and Dan Kelly, if necessary, either of you want to speak? Or both?
Good morning, Chairman Baggett and board members. My office submitted yesterday, and I realize it was after 5, some written comments on the agenda item number 12. My name is Dan Kelly. I'm with SOMAC Simmons & Dunn. We represent the Central Valley Project Water Association, Northern California Water Association, and several or a couple hundred individual plaintiffs in the current fee litigation. And these comments were provided in the context of that litigation. I guess some clarification may be ordered, and we actually requested it be pulled off the consent calendar.
Which we've done.
Officially done?
Okay. Well, it's done. We're talking about it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. And I would request that the board accept the written comments, although late, rather than the need to actually go over them here verbally again. A couple issues that we have with the resolution and the staff report. As the board may know, Senate Bill 1049 actually made the fees applicable to the United States to the extent permitted under federal law, yet the staff report says that the fees don't apply to the United States. And the staff report further says that the United States has refused to pay the fees. It's our understanding that the United States has not taken an official position with regard to the fees, so I think it may be appropriate to provide some clarification in that context in the staff report. Also, the staff report and the resolution indicate that the purpose of the contract is to cover the cost of administering the United States water rights, and I don't know that that's the case either. The cost of administering the water rights is being passed through the CVP contractors. If anything, this resolution and contract would only pay the cost of processing applications and petitions, so it's not necessarily paying the cost of administering the United States water rights. Thanks.
Thank you. Does the Bureau have any comments? Since I guess we could ask the Bureau, have you refused to pay the fees?
No, we're not paying the fees. My name is John Renning with the Bureau of Reclamation. I would simply comment that there is no draft contract at the moment, and the details of any new contract still remain to be determined.
Okay, thank you. Craig, maybe we should agendize this for a closed session since the issue of litigation was brought up. Is that appropriate? So we can discuss this issue with the full board. Okay. And then we'll put it calendar for an item for the agenda, but schedule a closed session before the next board meeting so we can I think the whole board can discuss this issue. Okay, with that, anybody else on item 12? Item 13, the ocean plan. It's going to be an ocean day.
Good morning, Chairman Baggett and board members. My name is Linda O'Connell. I'm with the Ocean Standards Unit, Division of Water Quality. And I'm here as a follow-up to our October workshop, where I raised a proposed amendment for the bacterial standards for the ocean plan. And as you may recall, there were some rough spots. Most of them revolved around my proposal to delete the single sample maximum as a standard and have it as a trigger for additional monitoring. Okay. There were three concerns at the time. They were, just briefly, the deletion of the single sample standard would weaken the ocean plan and endanger public health. The proposed language would not be in agreement with EPA's final promulgation for ocean waters, and that our proposal did not appear to have the support of any health agency. Well, since that time, I've worked with Department of Health Services, and we've actually drafted some language that is complementary to AB 411. We've submitted that language to US EPA, their technical and legal staff, both in Region 9 and Washington, has approved of our language. And briefly, what we've done is we've included a single sample standard, but we've limited its use. We've included language that states that it's board policy to use a geometric mean for water assessment decisions, but allowed flexibility for any regional board that may want to use a single sample maximum standard to make their Clean Water Act decisions, such as 303D listing. We have received five comment letters, four in support, one that expresses concerns. That letter was from Region 9, our San Diego Regional Board. And it is actually concerned that with our process of how they're going to be able to get the single sample maximum for their TMDL decisions approved. I think our language allows enough flexibility to have some group within the water board make that decision. I think their concern is premature at this point, and we are still working with them. I've done a preliminary data assessment. I don't think that it supports their decision, but like I said, it's preliminary, and we've agreed to talk about it further. So, and just one final note, two of the comment letters were late, but since we've modified our proposal as a result of US EPA's promulgation, CEQA requires that we accept all comment letters, so that's okay. Why we accepted.
Very good.
So, anyway, I'm here to answer questions or comments.
Can you clarify for me then what if you're recommending that the single sample maximum not be used for listing decisions, what would it be used for?
It can be used in conjunction with the geometric mean, and it needs to be collected for AB 411 purposes, just because Department of Health Services and local county health agencies very often rely on the data that our people collect. So they can use it in conjunction with their geometric mean, but we and actually US EPA all agree that the geometric mean is a more reliable way to determine water quality over the long term.
Okay. Maybe I'm missing something here, but so with respect to, for example, permitting,
mm-hmm.
what standards would we be looking at then?
The geometric mean.
And not the single sample maximum.
They can use it to assist in their decisions to see if there's an immediate problem, a sewage spill. A geometric mean exceedance could indicate a sewage spill, but there would be no immediate regulatory action required.
Sorry. I would like to correct that statement. The single
sample. Could you identify yourself, please?
Excuse me. This is Sheila Vassey from the Office of Chief Counsel. The single sample maximum would be used for permitting. It's an applicable standard, and it would be used for permitting.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Okay. If you're not clear on that, I mean, if that's the answer, then that's an answer I'm satisfied with. But I want to be
The only qualification that is included in the proposed amendment is the policy preference for using the geometric mean for water quality assessment. The regional boards are not precluded from using single sample maximum where it's appropriate. But
so for everything except the water body assessment in the 303D list, the single sample maximum along with the geometric mean is the standard.
That is correct. Right. And even with respect to water quality, water body assessments, as I said, the single sample maximum data can be used. But we would like the regional boards to justify the use as opposed to we would like them to use it in conjunction with the geometric mean data.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah. Sorry to screw you up there.
Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Okay. We have two cards. US EPA. Maria.
Oh, I'm sorry. One last thing. Based on an email and several phone calls yesterday, we made some last-minute clarifications on the 30-day geometric mean. I think you have that language there.
Yeah.
It's pretty minor, and it was done in response to some permit writers that just wanted it a little clearer to aid in their permit writing. So, thank you.
Maria.
Good morning, Chairman Baggett and members of the board. I'm Maria Ray with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. I'm here today to offer our support in your efforts to update the ocean plans to include the beach act requirements and the updated recreational standards for bacteria. We find that the new language is generally consistent with what EPA promulgated and went into effect on December 16th of 2004, and we appreciate the nuanced approach and how the single point maximum canon should be applied. EPA in its rulemaking gave the states discretion in that and made it clear that the single point maximum canon should be used for beach notification, monitoring, and beach closures, but gave the states discretion in how it would be used in permitting and through a 3D listing. So the language that you have included now makes it clear that the single point maximum is a standard and would be approved as a water quality standard, which is consistent with our rulemaking, and we were concerned about the previous addition of that. So we think that you've corrected our concerns. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I hear since I missed that workshop. Leslie.
Leslie Mintz here for Heal the Bay. Happy New Year. Heal the Bay supports the proposed amendment to the ocean plan and believe that it brings it in conformance with bacteriological health standards. And we think that this consistency will help with everyone's ongoing efforts. We also recommend, and we did not submit written comments on this, we do recommend two minor but important modifications to the proposed amendment. First, we strongly recommend changing the monitoring requirement for offshore monitoring locations from total coliform to enterococcus. Enterococcus is strongly associated with health effects, as shown in several epidemiological studies, is the indicator that US EPA recommends for marine waters, and originates solely from fecal material. Importantly, it mimics the survival of viruses much better than total coliform in seawater. On the other hand, total coliform may originate from non-fecal material, and it does not survive as long in seawater and has shown a much weaker correlation to health effects. So if only one fecal indicator is monitored, enterococcus should be the indicator of choice, not coliform. It's the methods are easy and they're affordable, and there's a quick turnaround. So we're not clear on why coliform is chosen over enterococcus, but we would recommend that change. The second modification we recommend is to retain a sanitary survey requirement provision. The proposed amendment to the ocean plan deletes the sanitary survey section And in light of the $80 million the Clean Beach Initiative is spending to reduce and eliminate fecal bacteria at California's most polluted beaches, we think that the State Board could provide clarification in the Ocean Plan on when sanitary surveys are required to ensure that recreational contact uses are protected. Water Code Section 13178, which enacted AB 5338, requires sanitary surveys. However, despite this, sanitary surveys are often infrequently done, almost always voluntarily because of public health concerns. We recommend the implementation of a sanitary survey when the 30-day geometric mean standards are exceeded more than 75% of the time in a 60-day period using a rolling 30-day analysis, or when the single sample standards are exceeded in any 3 weeks of a 4-week period. This requirement would make the Ocean Plan consistent with AB 538. Thank you.
Thank you. Department of Health Services, Dr. Spath, thanks for coming.
Oh, you're welcome, Chairman Baggett. Members, appreciate the opportunity to come before you. We did make written comments, which you may have before you. I just want to make just a brief comment that we do support the proposals to the Ocean Plan. We believe they are consistent with our beach safety standards, and they will provide information to the local health officer and directors of environmental health in making determinations with regard to beach safety. As you probably know, our standards are twofold with regard to beach safety, one dealing with beaches that are affected by storm drains, where there is a automatic notice required when a single sample is exceeded, and then for other beaches where there is more discretion given to the health officers and the directors of environmental health in making decisions. So we see these recommendations to the Ocean Plan consistent with those approaches that are already in regulation for beach safety standards.
Questions? Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments on item 13?
Can staff explain why the sanitary survey was eliminated?
Actually, I was just talking with Leslie, and it's not eliminated. It's in here. It may not be in the format that Heal the Bay is proposing, but there is a requirement that repeat sampling, if the single sample maximum standard is exceeded, that repeat sampling has to be conducted within 24 hours of receiving analytical results and continued until the sample result is less than the single sample standard or until the regional board requires the appropriate agency to conduct a sanitary survey. So, but we will work with Heal the Bay to see if that covers their concerns.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Should we put this on consent? Is there a reason not to? Then maybe if you want to work some language, we'll just put it on the consent calendar then, unless there's anybody objects. Great, thank you. For where? Oh, I'm on 14, yeah. Yeah, I got it. Kevin, item 14. And then we have two cards if necessary. I imagine they'll be necessary before we're done. But
I do have a short summary prepared on the site. However, the regional board and the local agency are not contesting this order. Did you want me to prepare? Proceed?
Might be worthwhile to have, if the other two folks want to address us, then you can answer questions. And
okay.
If there's any, what's the board's pleasure? Is that fine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Either Patricia Kelly or Lois Green, do you have comments? Okay. It says if necessary. So if it's necessary, speak now or.
Well, and my sister and I owned that particular property.
You fix the mic.
I'm Lois Green.
Thank you.
And my sister Patricia Kelly also has equal interest in this. And we have undergone this remediation for 15 years now on this site in Eureka. And We've complied with every single thing the state has, the remedial has asked us to do, the regulatory agency, I should say. And we feel that enough has been done, and it's time to close the site. Is that okay?
That's the recommendation, and unless there's any objection, we'll just put it on the consent calendar for the board meeting for action. Is that, Kevin, do you have any other comments? Is that, okay, so we'll put item 14 on the consent calendar, and good work. Save you another trip. With that, item 15. Who's back to see who's Sheila? Looks like it's an ocean day. Channelized Creek Day, or potential highway day, but our highway engineer is missing today right now.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. My name is Sheila Vassy, and I'm here to present the draft order on Bayona Creek. In the draft order, the State Board reviews on its own motion a failure by the Los Angeles Regional Board to act on a basin planning item in June 2003. Specifically, the Regional Board voted against a staff proposal to modify recreational use standards for two reaches of Bayona Creek. The matter is now before you because Los Angeles County and the Flood Control District asked the State Board to review this matter on its own motion. As you know, State Board review of Regional Board's failure to act in the basin planning arena is quite rare. In this case, we are recommending own motion review because we believe the staff recommendation was appropriate and that it was consistent with State Board direction. And for this reason, the draft order proposes to have the State Board adopt the Regional Board staff recommendation with one minor change. I will now briefly explain the Regional Board staff proposal. Bayona Creek is the largest drainage tributary to Santa Monica Bay. It has three reaches. The staff proposal dealt with reaches one and two. Reach one is referred to as Bayona Creek. Reach two is Bayona Creek to the estuary, and reach three is the estuary. In the 1930s, the upper portion was channelized and lined in concrete for flood control purposes. Since then, the area has become highly urbanized. It includes, for example, West LA, Beverly Hills, and West Hollywood. Reach 1 is a box channel with 20-foot vertical walls. Public access is prohibited. The reach is fenced, and the gate is permanently locked. They're always locked. Reach 2 is also concrete lined. It has sloping walls. Public access is restricted, but it is possible in at least two locations. A bike path runs adjacent to the creek, and it runs down to the estuary. And this portion is in close proximity to homes and to parks. The access gates are locked during and after rainfall events of 1 inch or greater. Water levels in both reaches are quite low, except during rainfall events. I imagine they're high at the moment, when flows are swift and treacherous. Both reaches are currently designated as supporting Rec 2, which is non-water contact recreation. They are also designated for potential Rec 1 or water contact recreation. The Regional Board staff proposed to de-designate the potential Rec 1 use from both reaches. They also recommended adding an existing limited Rec 1 use for Reach 2, and this is considered body contact or water contact recreation, where the full Rec 1 use is limited by physical conditions such as low water levels and restricted access. The staff proposal was based on a use attainability study, which is an extensive study that looks at various factors which are pertinent to whether the use full Rec 1 use associated with swimming is feasible. And their analysis included field observations, questionnaires, and an email survey. The regional board held a hearing in June 2003 on the staff proposal. An EPA representative testified at that hearing that EPA fully supported the proposal and that it was consistent with EPA bacterial guidance and water quality standards regulations. The regional board voted against the proposal, however, primarily, I believe, because they were concerned that it might conflict with the Bionic Creek watershed effort. The draft report concludes that the regional board erred and that its staff recommendation with one minor change should be adopted. And the reasons for this are that the regional board is required to do a TMDL for Bionic Creek related to bacterial contamination, and accurate use designations are critical for that effort. In addition, the state board had previously asked the regional board to reconsider the recreational use designations for concrete-lined channels as they pertain to swimming. And finally, the evidence in the record does not support a potential Rec 1 use. It's clearly not an existing use, and it does not appear to be feasible. The draft order also concludes that the regional board staff proposal fully complied with EPA's water quality standards regs and that it was not inconsistent with the watershed effort. We would like to point out that the staff recommendation was very narrow in scope. No changes were recommended for the estuary, and the one minor change that we propose is to clarify the dividing line between Reach 1 and Reach 2. We did receive a number of comments. I'd like to briefly address four of them. Los Angeles County and the Flood Control District and others have said that the Reach 2 should be designated for limited Rec 1 as only a potential use, if at all. And we disagree. We believe there is sufficient evidence in the record to support this use. Which the evidence includes a direct observation as well as the email and questionnaire surveys indicating that children play on the creek banks and that other water-related activities occur, such as model boating and dog walking, apparently in the creek. In addition, there is clearly creek access. The creek walls are sloping in that area, and parks and homes are in close proximity to the creek. We've also received comments regarding a finding 12 in the draft resolution. The finding clarifies that this action is limited to the swimming-related aspects of Rec 1. The reason for that is that the regional board staff report addressed only swimming and not the fishing, recreational fishing. As an aside, I would like to note that the state board has previously upheld recreational fishing as part of the Rec 1 use. The finding also states that other beneficial uses protect the Clean Water Act's fishable goal, including warm. And the point of this statement is not to say that fishing is an activity included in the warm use, which is the protection of warm aquatic habitats, but rather to say that by protecting aquatic habitats, the state furthers the Clean Water Act fishable goal. I would like to repeat, the warm aquatic habitat use does not include fishing as an activity, and this is true in the LA region as well as throughout the state. We've also received a comment that questions the propriety of the objectives for the limited Rec 1 use. The regional board's staff recommendation was based upon EPA criteria for body contact recreation that involves infrequent use, and we support that proposal. We have received recommendations that the objectives should be based on the Rec 2 or non-water contact rec use, and we do not support that. And I'd like to note that EPA's definition of Rec 1 differs from the state's in that the state includes wading in Rec 1 and EPA does not. And finally, we received comments from the Bayona Creek Watershed Coordinators. The letter clarifies the watershed management plan, and we appreciate the clarification, but do not recommend changes in our draft order. That concludes my presentation. Are there any questions?
With respect to the comments that the, well, I guess we'll hear from them, but the change that they were seeking was to change the limited REC 1 in REACH 2 to potential limited REC 1. And what's the difference?
There isn't a difference, practically speaking, in that whether the use is designated as existing or potential, you still have to meet the standards. But we do believe there's sufficient evidence to support the use as currently existing, and they do not support that opinion. They believe that it's only potential and that it has not been realized, basically.
But there's nothing to prevent, if the restoration efforts come to fruition in a few years and the channel is restored and all the concrete's torn out, then that will alter the... Then they can go back, then it becomes REC 1, the cyclone fences are taken down, then the use would be changed.
Clearly.
Yeah, there's nothing to prevent
that. We would
that.
Be required to protect the use
right.
if it's actually
so
been
if,
attained.
So if the restoration efforts... if and when they move forward.
Right.
And it doesn't become a highway.
Sorry, just back on my question, just one. So it's staff's position that there is evidence of actual limited REC 1 use
that
in
is correct.
REACH 2 of the channel.
That's correct.
And the regional board staff proposals said the same thing.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right. With that, we have three cards. John Bishop, Regional Board.
Good morning, Chairman Baggett, members of the board. My name is John Bishop. I'm the executive officer for the Los Angeles Regional Water Quality Control Board. In June of 2003, when the regional board considered modifications to the REC 1 beneficial use designation for the upper portions of Bionic Creek, the Trust for Public Land and the state were in the process of acquiring portions of the historic Bellona wetlands for restoration. The regional board was concerned that modifications of the beneficial use would send the wrong message. The regional board wanted to send a consistent public policy message that restoration of wetlands and the return, wherever possible, to a natural hydrologic system is an important goal. The regional board, in all of its deliberations, examines the potential to return to a more natural hydrologic system. The regional board is careful to ensure that none of the board's actions appear to be in conflict with our goal of returning water bodies to a more natural function and recharging more of our runoff and thus reducing our need for imported water. During the same time period, June 2003, the Watershed Management Task Force was in the middle of developing its watershed management plan for the creek. The records for the hearing show that the regional board was concerned that making a change to the REC 1 beneficial use at that time might unduly influence the process and potentially undermine efforts to restore the creek. Having said all these things, the regional board did recognize and continues to recognize the reality of the situation with Bionic Creek, that at this time, the full REC 1 use is not safe or appropriate for the upper reaches of the creek. Given that the Bionic Creek Watershed Task Force has a long-term goal that supports the regional board's goal of restoring natural hydrologic function to the Bionic Creek and that the restoration of wetlands is moving forward successfully, the regional board will not at this time oppose the state board taking action to revise the refinement of the REC 1 beneficial use designation for the upper portions of Bionic Creek as proposed in the current state order. On behalf of the regional board, I'd like to thank the state board for waiting until the watershed management plan was completed before taking action. And additionally, the regional board appreciates that the state board recognizes that full protection of downstream uses in the estuary is necessary. I'd also like to just reassure Board Member Sutley that we have, during our beneficial use assessment of the creek, we did actually document that limited REC 1 use was existing in the creek, and that's why we had put that. And any of any questions?
No, that sounds so. You would agree that once the restoration begins, then the use will potentially can change. Plus, you've got the down. It seems the lower reach is going to cause, in reality, the upper reaches to be protected too.
That's correct. Because
we're only talking a mile away. I mean,
the proposal that staff made originally and this one clearly designates that the
estuary has body contact and that you have to meet it there. There is no magic line. It means that what it does mean is that potentially some storm drains would not have to meet the full rec one as long as the downstream did, and we think that's inappropriate.
Yeah. Okay. But I guess in terms of, from my perspective, the process was we went through the use obtainability process, so you've also got to respect that process, too. We followed the law, went through the process, and this is the conclusion and that the staff came up with and that our staff came up with.
That's correct. The only outstanding issue was the watershed management's right. plan, which came out in September of 2004, and at which point that supports the change in designation at this time, and so we don't oppose it.
Very good. Thank you. That Leslie?
Leslie Mintz. I'm appearing today on behalf of Heal the Bay and also Santa Monica Baykeeper, who I think is stuck at the airport with Mr. Katz. So I will be speaking for both organizations on the record. We oppose the proposed amendment for two reasons, and the theme of these reasons is truly form over function. We believe that you are on the precipice of a very slippery slope, and we urge you to get a very firm process foothold. Firstly, we believe that an adequate UAA was not completed. The State Board's own order says a rigorous scientific analysis, and the Clean Water Act defines the UAA to require a structured scientific assessment. The UAA completed by the Regional Board did not meet this definition. It relied primarily on a survey of 33 bike path users in Reach 2 and 7 field visits, did not collect an adequate and appropriate amount of data to ascertain the actual use along two reaches. Importantly, the UAA did not include any demonstration that the survey results were robust enough to extrapolate from the limited number of visits and questionnaires to actual use. This is particularly true for Reach 1, which had very little field reconnaissance work. The county failed, in our opinion, to provide any additional actual field usage data or field reconnaissance regarding illegal access points that the general public may use to actually recreate in the creek. We also noticed that the state's own precedent lately of UAAs, the old Alamo Creek Vacaville report in January 2004 and the West Squaw Creek in Shasta County in July of 2004, were both very robust documents. So for one process concern, we have that the adequate UAA was not done. By accepting this UAA, we're concerned the State Board is setting a bad precedent regarding the quality and the rigor of the assessment necessary for a UAA. When written into federal law, UAAs were the exception to the rule. And we all know that the de-designation process is a very controversial one. So we do not think a back-of-the-envelope analysis that relies on a survey should be the state standard. Instead of adopting the proposed order, we urge the State Board to ensure adequate usage data is collected to ensure a structured scientific assessment of the recreational uses of Biona Creek. It does not have to be complicated or expensive. It just has to include enough field reconnaissance work and surveys to ensure the results are representative of the actual ongoing use of the creek. And again, we make this request because we believe strongly that process must be inviolate in the de-designation of a use. We know that this particular reach does not necessarily resonate with a lot of people. Our second reason, which is actually a legal and policy reason, is that we think it is a very bad precedent to set a new beneficial use, this limited Rec 1, which sort of reminds me of a decaf cappuccino with a half twist or whatever, through a State Board amendment. Creation of a new beneficial use subcategory should be completed through a properly noticed and reviewed basin plan amendment process in the region. Instead, this board is creating a new beneficial use in an amendment solely focused on one water body. And moreover, there's no guidance or context for how or if this subcategory is applicable to other water bodies throughout the state or even in the region. Additionally, the State Board has had no discussion of how or what water quality standards are appropriate for this beneficial use. So we would again urge the Regional Board to direct
the regional board to amend their basin plan to include this use along with the definition and applicable water quality standards before allowing the designation of this use. Thank you.
Questions? Howard Guest. Yeah, unless you disagree with the recommendation proposing, we would suggest 10 minutes is excessive. Unless you want to change the recommendation.
Well, Chairman Baggett, members of the board, Howard Guest on behalf of the County of Los Angeles and Los Angeles County Flood Control District. And first of all, we agree with the proposed order and its provisions. I would like to address the issue of potential versus actual use in of the limited REC 1 in REACH 2. I have prepared a presentation which we provided to the members of the board. And there's really, the first part of it really deals with REACH 1. And there's really no reason to go through that if you don't need to hear it. Although I would like to
We're
show
We're very familiar with this issue, okay. as I think you're, okay. as you know. So I don't think right. you need to. This then, is like third or fourth time we've
right. okay.
been here.
I would indicate, and if you go to basically, though, the third picture, if you could just flip through that. Now go to the fourth picture, please. Next one. I included this picture because the board had a question of where the wall ends and the limitation of the reach and for what it's worth. And this is under your small things in national looking upstream. You could see where the wall ends and then it becomes flat. And then also, let me just start with this picture to address the question of is there evidence of an actual limited REC 1 use? And let me address the question of does it matter? Because that's really the first question. If it doesn't matter, why address it? And the standards that the dischargers would have to meet would be the same, whether it's designated as potential or actual. So we're held to the same standard. It doesn't matter for that reason. However, it does matter going forward with respect to the flexibility that is provided to the parties in the future. As has been said, and we agree, that if there is restoration along the channel, yes, the recreational uses can be addressed. But there is a difference between designating this as existing versus potential. And existing is defined to be as it actually attained. And the difference is that if you want to address it in the future and determine whether or take steps which may address the question of, well, it really is not occurring. If it's designated as an existing use, you cannot modify it. But if it's designated as a potential use, we have to meet the same standards, but in the future, it can be modified. And given the fact that this is a new designation, we're going to be looking in the future as to how to meet these standards. We suggest, one, it gives greater flexibility if it's designated as potential rather than existing. And we still have to meet the same standards, but greater potential going forward. It can always be changed in the future. And then let me take just 2 minutes to address the question of whether there is actual evidence of it actually being attained or not in the record. Okay. That requires an examination of the record. We do appreciate the regional board's position today supporting the order, and we do appreciate their belief that there is evidence. But what was done? One, which was the only actual evidence, was they observed one woman walking a dog. That's the only actual evidence of exposure. The only other evidence they have with respect to it being actually existing rather than potentially existing is emails. And if you look at the record, one email says, I may have heard of somebody or walking down there. Other emails say, and they sent emails to the historian of Culver City. They sent emails to other people. They say, no, we don't know anybody who goes down there anymore. We don't know of any situation that occurs. It's actually illegal to be down there. So we have a situation. Look, we have a, this is the situation. We have a situation where, and actually, if you look at this picture or other pictures which you've included, the bike path is not by the channel. The bike path is generally 8 feet above the channel. So it's not a situation where they go down there.
It's on the other side of the fence.
Right. That's right. So you have basically you have a situation where, look, it's potentially possible for somebody to walk down there, and somebody could walk their dog through that situation. Well, is this an actual limited Rec 1 use, or is it just a potential one? We've included in our presentation a discussion of this from EPA regulations. And rather than just asking you to go to the point in the PowerPoint, it is in our handout, but let me just read it to you because it's a very applicable situation, and I just want to leave you with this thought. EPA was asked this question, but they were asked the question in terms of straight Rec 1 use. And this is what was in their discussion for the proposed rules. EPA said, and I'm quoting from them, a few examples may help illustrate the issue. A somewhat common existing use question applies to primary contact recreation. If a few people, on a few occasions, swim in a water body that does not have the quality or physical characteristics to support swimming, is this an existing use? Even if the water body has posted no swimming due to bacterial contamination and lacks the physical features to actually support swimming. The straightforward answer to this question is that swimming is not an existing use because the present or past condition does not support that use. This conclusion is based on the very limited actual use and, more importantly, the lack of suitable water quality and physical characteristics that would support a recreational swimming use now or in the future. And the county submits, and the flood control district submits, that the same rule would apply to the evidence as to this limited Rec 1. You have a situation where it is possible for somebody to walk down there, but it's not an ongoing actual use. And therefore, we would suggest that it should be designated as a potential use.
So you're suggesting changing it to potential use?
We're suggesting it to a potential limited Rec 1 use. We took the position before the regional board that it should be really just a Rec 2 use, that there should be no limited Rec 1 use. But our position is that we support the board's order, but it should be a potential limited Rec 1 use rather than an actual limited Rec use, because that gives greater flexibility in the future, and requires us to meet the same standards. Okay. Unless you have any other questions, thank you very much.
Anybody else? No.
Thank you.
Any question for staff? Sheila?
Don't want to put you on the spot here, Sheila, if you're not prepared to answer this, but I have a couple questions based on the presentation made by Ms. Mintz, and they have to do with the adequacy of the UAA that was performed, whether it had adequate scientific rigor, and then secondly, the issue that Ms. Mintz raised as to the process issues associated with designating a new use and whether that's appropriate to do it in this process. Can you comment on those?
I'd be happy to. I think I'll take the process question first. The regional board staff prepared this item as a proposed basin plan amendment. They did prepare the UAA, as I'd indicated. They developed a definition for limited Rec 1. I can read it to you if you like. The definition is uses of water for recreational activities involving body contact with water where full Rec 1 use is limited by physical conditions such as very shallow water depth and restricted access, and as a result, ingestion of water is incidental and infrequent. And as part of their proposed amendment, they proposed water quality objectives for the limited Rec 1 use. They're based upon EPA criteria for body contact involving infrequent use, as I'd indicated. So that was fully developed and noticed. The regional board conducted a hearing, and that's, you know, the process that was used. With regard to the UAA, as I had indicated, the EPA representative said that the UAA fully met EPA's water quality standards requirements for UAAs. I thought it was very well done. I've seen a number of these. It was thorough. It was well thought out. And I thought they did a great job, frankly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Before Sheila leaves, with respect to the UAA, is there anything that would prevent the regional board or anybody proposing to do a UAA from seeking input from people? Does it have to be noticed in terms of determining the methodology? I mean, it seemed to me the point that Leslie made is there's, you know, If these are going to be rare and controversial, then it would seem to me that it's in everybody's interest to have some discussion of the methodology. Is there any reason that the regional board couldn't do that, or anybody preparing a UAA?
Certainly not. I suspect the regional board did that, John.
Yeah, if you look at the record, we did contact folks in the area. We based it on the surveys.
I guess my question was actually something a little different, which was in deciding how to do the UAA, did you seek input from
everyone
other
we could
parties
find.
In determining what methodology
use? We talked to EPA. We talked to state board, both technical and legal staff. We talked to stakeholders. There are always multiple ideas on how to do a UAA, but they're so rare and infrequent that there isn't a cookbook that's out there. And so this was the choice that we used.
I'd like to make one more comment, if I could, and that has to do with whether the limited rec use is existing or potential. The EPA guidance refers to an aberrational use. I think the record is pretty clear here that the use is not aberrational. This is the reach that goes down to the estuary. There are homes and parks adjacent to this reach. There's a library and a middle school that have direct access to the bike path, and from there access to the creek. In addition to the email survey, there were questionnaires indicating that children play on the slopes. Apparently, there's a housing development there. I think there is sufficient evidence. I don't consider the use aberrational. Thank you.
USCP Avenue.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to make a quick comment on the quality of the use attainability analysis because after we issued the 1986 water quality criteria for bacteria, we put out a document called a draft implementation guidance mm-hmm. for that bacteria standards, and the regional board staff followed those procedures to a letter, really, in terms of how they did the use attainability analysis. I really think they did an excellent job. I've reviewed the document myself. Use attainability analyses are never easy to do because, in part, you're trying to prove a negative, you know, that a use doesn't exist. So there's always an argument that you could have more data. But we really think that, in fact, this document, this analysis they did was very sufficient. It's concise. In fact, I think it could serve as a model for other use attainability analyses around the state. So, and the quality of that, we're very supportive of what they did.
Thank you. Any other questions or? You want us to keep it on? Are you going to come back, Leslie? Can we put it on a consent, or do you want to discuss it at the board meeting again? Why don't you come up?
I'm not sure what you're asking. I know that probably Baykeeper would want to be present. I'm a little bit handicapped because I was not a staff member who was involved at the regional board level.
Okay.
So
we'll keep it on then.
Okay.
We'll keep it on as a regular item for the board meeting. Yeah. Let's take 11:30. That concludes all the items except item 16 in a closed session. Closed session will be this afternoon at what, 2 o'clock? 2 o'clock. And so if anybody, staff, who are here for that, that won't be till 2. And We'll take a break till 11:30 and come back with item 16 for recess.
Loan for Los Osos Community Services District. Los Osos has submitted an SRF application. This application has been reviewed by staff thoroughly. We've also reviewed all the comments we've received lately on this item considering for you and have determined that Los Osos has met the SRF policy for receiving a loan. Again, remind you that the SRF policy is set up such that it defines a process for arriving at a loan project. We don't dictate to the locals what the project needs to be, technical considerations about the project or whatnot. We do require them to go through a series of steps that hopefully help them arrive at the appropriate solution. With that, staff is here for questions if you have any.
Yeah, just a couple of questions. One is, I'm assuming that they, Los Osos, would have to build some kind of treatment process and disposal process regardless of the loan.
Yes, and the regional board is here to, and the regional board obviously is the regulatory body enforcing that, and there would be no way to discharge without having some form of treatment to meet the regional board's requirements.
And I don't know if you have that any kind of information of, you know, what happens in terms of the local rates if the loans, if we don't give them the loans, the SRF loans, what's the difference in the rates? Do you have an idea?
We've calculated it out. The SRF loan, as you know, is a low-interest loan. The interest rate is approximately 2.5 to 2.6%. It varies based on some conditions of the GO bond rate because we tee it to whatever the state sells their bond rate at. If Los Osos was to try to build this project on their own, it would cost about an extra $20 million to go to what it would cost them based on what a local agency by themselves could receive as a financing charge.
Is that over the term of the loan?
That would be the entire cost, right, over the entire term of the loan project.
And finally, I mean, I'm assuming there's other agencies waiting for this type of loan. If we didn't give the any or all of this loan, that there'd be other agencies waiting to get this, right?
Yeah, it changes all the time. You know, as you, the there's probably anywhere at any given time $300 to $400 million worth of projects in the queue that would like to have SRF funding from our agency.
Okay, thank you.
Richard. Just along that same line, just help me one more time go through what must be the 47th time going through this. If we don't fund the loan, as Mr. Silver pointed out, there's a lot of people standing in line who will be very appreciative of the money. I got that. What happens in reality in Los Osos if we don't fund this loan?
My understanding is Los Osos is under an order from the regional board, and they have to comply with that order and that time schedule. They'll have to build this project using other financing that's, you know, obviously not provided by us, not provided at a low interest rate, and it would cost them more to basically comply with the enforcement order.
So they're under an enforcement order.
Correct.
And failure to comply with the enforcement order results in?
Well, the enforcement order doesn't have anything to do with whether we're, you know, funding.
But I'm saying, assume for a second, we don't fund the loan and they do nothing. Then violation of the enforcement order results in what?
The regional board would best be able to answer, but my understanding is potentially fines and other.
Let me ask the regional board just to clarify that for me, please. Just I want to understand sort of the
regional
the whole
board's up next, so.
Perfect timing.
Let's move to the regional board.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Good morning, Chairman Baggett, State Board members. My name is Gerhard Huebner. I'm a senior staff at the Central Coast Regional Board. I'm here on behalf of my board and our executive officer. We submitted two comment letters to you, one dated November 18th, the other December 28th, 2004. I'm here to express regional board support for the Los Osos CSD's request for a state revolving fund loan, and to also thank you for your continued support in helping us resolve the ongoing water quality problems facing the community of Los Osos. And those are my comments. I'm here to answer questions, and I'll answer the first one.
Yeah. Could you answer Mr. Katz's question about the consequences of
The regional board issued a time schedule order, 00131, that specifies $10,000 a day for noncompliance for issues that are beyond the control of the CSD. And within that time schedule order, there were milestones and dates. So the expectation is that this project move forward.
When would fines start?
We would need to make that determination that the CSD is not making good faith efforts to move this project forward or to resolve the issues in Los Osos.
And what, let me ask you this, what's the regional board's expectation if, for instance, if this loan, let's hypothetically say we turn down the loan and decide that there's communities that want it, so we ought to give it to them. What action does your board take at that point? Or what? Just walk me through the steps. Help me understand
the consequences. Well, as Darren mentioned, then they would need to seek other financial assistance.
And how long will you allow them to do that? How long will you give them?
Well, we would expect them to secure that fairly soon. Well,
did you expect them to comply with the milestones that are currently in your order?
Correct.
Okay. So regardless of what they needed to do with respect to financing, unless you went back to your board and the board issued a different order, under the current order, they have to comply with those milestones. So if there's any delay beyond what's in the current order, they're subject to $10,000 a day fine. So what is that, $3 million a year?
Add up fairly quickly, $300,000 a month.
Okay.
That's my interpretation.
First milestone?
Well, the first milestone, which they've completed, there was the environmental impact report,
right.
Completion of that. They were to come up with financing. And as you know, they've been in front of you for previous loan commitments. Mm-hmm. So they've satisfied those portions. They've gone through design and permitting. So we're at the stage where we're waiting for that last milestone, which is initiation of construction.
And what's the date for that in your...
That actually has passed. However, because of past appeals and litigation, the board has made a determination to not enforce on the time schedule because of that force majeure type clause. Right. It says beyond their control. So as long as they're proceeding, and we've felt that litigation is beyond their control as long as they're proceeding in defense of that litigation.
Okay. Well, understanding that it's difficult, if not impossible, to ask regional board staff to speculate on what a regional board might do and understand the difficulty in predicting that. Assume for a second that, that the loan goes somewhere else. How much time will you give them? How much time would you anticipate giving them before you set that date? And, I mean, I just want to get a full appreciation for actions, consequences, et cetera.
Well, to give you a little bit of perspective, when there was some difficulty at the Coastal Commission getting the permit there, my board initiated and directed staff to come up with enforcement options. And we convened a hearing on that item back in July of past year, 2004. So they are very serious. They are looking to resolve this issue in a variety of means.
Yeah, I guess the last thing, and then turn it back to the chair, from my perspective at least, I would imagine that if we were to decide to take the loan somewhere where it's appreciated, we would look really dimly at the board, regional board, obviously, modifying any of the schedules or delaying any more, and would assume that failure for the district to find an alternative financing source would mean immediate fines and sanctions, and folks will bear the responsibility for that.
I'll take that message.
I appreciate it.
I've been here 6 years. This has been before this board 6 years. How long before that? When did the regional board?
Issue has been debated times. At the regional board level since 71, when we were looking at that time to do prohibition in the basin plan. In 1983, which is now 22 years, we passed a resolution that created the discharge prohibition, and that went in effect in 1988. So we're talking 25 years now.
This is an ASBS. I know it's a National Marine Sanctuary. Is it also an ASBS area?
It is not. But as you mentioned, it's Morro Bay is a national and state estuary.
Okay. Any other questions? For the regional board? Okay.
be available for other questions.
I have a feeling we'll probably be talking. With that, Bruce Buell and Gordon Hensley, the next two.
Are we just on the amendments or on the...
What we're on approval of the...
Yeah, are we asking for a comment on the loan overall or on just the amendment to the loan?
Darren?
Yeah, the loan previous loan commitment has expired. So it was for an amount of $65.4 million. This is really a recommitment and establishing a new sunset date and a new amount of $93 million.
So we're increasing it.
You're increasing it from 65.4 to $93
million. And a year from now, it'll probably have to go up to...
We're increasing it for a bunch of people that don't want it.
I don't think you can use loans to pay. Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Bruce Buell, General Manager, Los Osos Community Services District. I'm here to tell you that this community does want this loan. We need it badly. As your staff indicated, their estimate is $20 million more. My belief is with closing cost, if we went to a bond in an election, I think it would end up costing more than $30 million more. I do want to, this morning, on behalf of my board, agree with your staff note. Your staff has recommended that you do extend the loan and increase the amount to $93 million. We believe that's vital to the interest of the community. We would encourage you to favorably consider your staff report. I would like to note for the record that this is an adjourned meeting, a special meeting of my district board. All five of my members are here, and I believe at some point they will speak to you. We have also brought the project engineer, Steve Hyland from Montgomery Watson Harza, and legal counsel, John Seitz, if you have questions in those dimensions. And the district is available to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions for any?
Thank you.
So your staff's available, and so if necessary, from a lot of folks.
Chairman Baggett, honorable board members, I'm Gordon Hensley. I'm the vice president of the Los Osos Community Services District. I just wanted to take a moment to personally thank you for your patience. This has been a long, drawn-out project, as you are well aware. We continue to seek state and federal support for our community to subsidize some of the cost. At this point, with the financial situation of both the federal government and the state government, we have been unable to bring in a huge amount of money. We have brought in several million dollars, and that's made a minor dent in the project. We continue to work for some type of supportive grant money. However, your loan is crucial to us to keep this project moving forward. I urge your continuing patience with us and that you would consider staff's recommendation to extend this loan. Thank you.
That Richard LeGros?
The previous speaker said everything I wish to say.
Okay. Thank you. Stan Gustafson, is that right? Correct. And then Lisa Shecker after that. Apologize if I mispronounce them.
Mr. Chairman,
could you state your name, please, when you come up for the record, just so it's...
Excuse me?
State your name when you come up to the mic, just so it's...
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'm Stan Gustafson, president of the CSD, and we want to thank you for the hearing for our extension amendment request and your continued cooperation with us as we move forward. I represent a majority of our board when I say that I feel that time is of the essence in solving our water pollution as well as our water supply problems. There is a water supply aspect to this that's also very... very troubling. While we know our project's costly, the low-cost loan is imperative to keep the carrying costs as low as possible. I've gone through the numbers with our general manager, and we feel it's closer to the $30 million that the failure to get the low-interest loan would cost the carrying costs on the project. And thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. And then Julia Tackers on deck.
Good morning, Chairman Baggett and members of the board.
Yeah, that's, I guess, the first question you just handed. Is this additional information? It wasn't, I mean, our policy is not accepted if it wasn't here by the deadline, but that's, Craig, do you want to address this before?
Your staff was provided this information yesterday.
But the deadline for submitting written comments was on the 30th.
Yeah, for the record, Craig Wilson, Chief Counsel, State Board. As the board well knows, we put in every agenda item a clearly set deadline for comments, and that was established, as Board Member Sutley said, for December 30th. And so if you're going to stick by that policy, documents that are received today or any time after December 30th should not be accepted.
Unless we accept them for the board meeting in 2 weeks prior to the...
You obviously could say that these documents, you know, because we're in a workshop setting, you're right, we're not taking action today. You could make a decision to say that we won't be able to read them today, but they will be considered for the board meeting.
Yeah, I think that's probably, so it gives us a chance to read them, so, okay. Okay, thank you.
Good morning again, Chairman Baggett and members of the board. My name is Lisa Schicker. I represent the 3-2, I represent the dissenting opinion of the Los Osos Community Services Board, and I did want to provide you with those materials so you would have a better chance, since I understand it is a workshop, and that you'll have a better chance to understand some of our presentations today. So thank you for accepting the materials. I come to you today as an elected official, a working professional who works on engineering and design teams on complex public works projects, and as a citizen involved in my community. And I have presented two letters to you, they are in your packets, that explain why I'm concerned about the loan and the amount of the loan, really. It's not that we don't want the loan. We just don't want the loan increased for the project that's before you. And I understand that normally this is probably an atypical request for you because normally you depend on local control. And what we're trying to show to you with our materials is that the local opinion about what's happening is changing very rapidly. That's why I provided you with the election results, and that's why I wrote in the letters. I do understand what is within your control, and that is following the processes that are established by your agency. And I was fortunate to meet with staff member Darren Pohemus yesterday for a couple hours, and I had a chance to talk to the Chairman Baggett. And that's really what we want to tell you about, the things that are within your control. You are the stewards of the state money. And this loan has increased from $47 million to $93 million, and with the ability to borrow $140 million for a community that would have monthly bills of up to $225 a month. We don't think, the citizens that I represent, do not think that they can afford to pay that. And that's why we're here before you today. It's not that we don't want a loan and that we don't want a project. We certainly do. We just believe that we can get a better project. I've reviewed all your guidelines for the state revolving fund process. I've analyzed them in detail. And I do believe that there are some problems with the analysis that's occurred. And I have a few of those things itemized in my letters. More of those things are itemized in those books. There's technical flaws. There's deferred costs. There's... And we believe that it is the obligation of your staff to please take another look. That's what we're asking for. This is a workshop. We have to the 20th. We've talked to Mr. Pohemus. There is no hurry. We want you to take another look at the processes and see if they really were followed. We have plenty of examples of where we believe they were not followed. And we have very high concerns in the community about the costs and this project. There's a recall, a revocation, lawsuits, and our election to speak for high controversy in our community. It's not that we don't want a project. I represent people that have always supported a project for Los Osos. You can't go back 30 years with me and tell me that I didn't want a project. That's not me. That's not the people I represent. I represent people who certainly want a project and have been waiting and trusting our government to take care of us and take care of it. So now I'm elected. I'm taking the ultimate sacrifice. And I'm up here, too, and I'm trying to represent the people of my town and do this. So my requests for you today are threefold. Please send this back to staff. take another look at our concerns about why we think this project is not ready and has not followed your own processes, both the state revolving fund guidelines and the environmental processes. We have many examples to give you. I also ask that you please consider a recommitment of the funds, but do not increase the amount. We do not want, we can't afford to pay you back the 93 plus the 50% more, 140 million. We can't afford to. And we want a loan. We're not saying we're not grateful, Mr. Katz. We're saying that we do want the loan. We just don't want the increase. And then finally, I would also like to encourage you to encourage both your staff and the regional board staffs to please work with us. We want to work with them. They're not the enemy. You're not the enemy. We want to work with you. But telling us that you're going to fine us and get us and fine us every time is not a way to work cooperatively with the people. We're willing. We are very interested in solving this problem, and I ask for your assistance. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chairman Baggett. I am Julie Tacker and board members. Thank you for allowing me a few moments. I was elected to this Los Osos CSD this fall on a Move the Sewer platform. I've lived in Los Osos nearly all my life, and I've watched the 30-year sewer saga pit neighbor against neighbor, and I've watched the fear drive families from the homes they love. One-third of our community, 1,700 families, admittedly cannot afford the project proposed. If the bids come back, and the bills are $225 a month for their sewer, and liens placed against their homes, it's unclear how many more families will be displaced by this project. As Los Osos comes to grips with the sewer's rising cost and its impacts, the community elected Lisa and myself to change the course of the project. In 2002, I unsuccessfully ran for the Los Osos Community Services District Board, receiving 2,000 votes from my community. This year, I successfully ran again and got 4,000 votes. This is the barometer in which I must measure support for my position. Just as the project has changed, the community's sentiment has changed. No longer afraid of fines and the rising cost, it's already too high. My community wants their sewer out of town. The sewer's own documents point to an environmentally superior, less expensive, community-accepted sewer out of town. Los Osos CSD did not pick it in 2000. Well, they have picked it now. This community has picked it now. The community has filed two lawsuits against this project. We're not talking about 30 years anymore. We're talking about the current project in front of you. A revocation request against this project has been filed at the Coastal Commission. And the community is gathering recall signatures against the three board members who support a sewer in the middle of town. Los Osos wants a project. I'm one of those citizens who want a solution, just not this one. Please recommit the SRF funds, and Los Osos, with your help, will achieve a sustainable solution for our community. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Got a whole stack here. Catherine, can't read it. Jenica Lucy, is that close? And Jan Leo. Oh. Okay.
Good morning. My name is Catherine Gentilucci, and I have been a resident of Los Osos for 24 years. My husband and I own a home and pay property taxes. During the past 24 years, I have been an active supporter of the Los Osos community. I have worked on projects that included the upgrade of play equipment for children at our community park and the establishment of the El Moro Linear Parkway. I own Catherine Gentilucci, MBA and Associates, a small business located in Los Osos. My clients have included the San Luis Obispo Visitors and Conference Bureau, a local vintners association, and a statewide educational organization. As a business owner, I am very aware of the economic challenges and opportunities facing Los Osos. I am here today to speak to you as a resident, a mother, a businesswoman, and a supporter of our community service district's plan to build the currently designed wastewater treatment project. I represent the 60% of the Los Osos voters who did not vote for CSD Director Tacker and the 50% who did not vote for Director Schicker, both of whom opposed the wastewater treatment project. The opposition group claims that by electing Directors Tacker and Schicker, they received a mandate in the November election for stopping the current project. That is simply not true. There were two open seats on the board and only three candidates who ran for office. Either of these two directors could have been elected to serve by receiving one vote. Furthermore, other qualified individuals refused to run for election to the CSD board because of the incredibly hostile environment created by the opposition. The opposition does not represent the majority view in Los Osos. Only 4 of 10 registered voters cast a vote for Director Tacker and 5 of 10 for Director Schicker. The majority of Los Osos residents are tired of being held hostage by the sewer opposition. They have delayed the project, increased the cost, and divided our community. We, the average tax-paying, property-owning residents of Los Osos, now face an enormous cost because of these frivolous and wasteful delays. We will be left with the bill long after many of the sewer opponents move away. I urge you to listen to the majority of the property owners and business people who are in favor of building the current wastewater project. Please help us by recommitting your state revolving fund for the Los Osos Wastewater Project. Please support our efforts to save our community, our drinking water, the bay, and our way of life by supporting our efforts to move forward with this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Whoops, I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, members of the board, my name is Jan DeLeo. I've been a Los Osos resident for the last 12 years. As you're aware, there continues to be controversy regarding the Los Osos sewer in our community. However, I again want to reiterate there is strong support for moving forward. Many of us in Los Osos are concerned about the quality of our groundwater and the estuary and strongly feel the current situation of polluting these resources must stop. The opponents are fond of saying there is minimal support for this project. In fact, in the 2001 and 2003 Los Osos CSD board elections, there were numerous CSD board candidates with numerous viewpoints. The sewer proponents clearly in both of these elections won the majority vote and are the people that are seated on the board now supporting the project. Further, in 2001, the community of Los Osos, by greater than an 84% margin, and this is the raw vote, not the weighted vote, supported an assessment to fund a gravity collection system at the Tri-W site. We agreed in this day and age to tax ourselves for this sewer system. The Los Osos CSD, maybe back up for a second. Frankly, I think the opponents have a lot of nerve talking about costs when they have issued lawsuits, recalls, appeals, revocations, and have increased the cost of our sewer project by over $6 million. I would note that the original plans proposed by the County of San Luis before the Los Osos CSD existed were proposed outside of town. There was controversy. Those projects were stopped. No matter where the plant goes, there will be controversy. Enough is enough. Let's move on. The Los Osos CSD has all of their discretionary approvals, which is an accomplishment in itself. In order to move forward, we need your help. Please support this Los Osos CSD request so we can build our sewer plant and move on, and so we can all stop wearing T-shirts that say different things. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Phyllis Snyder says no. Does that mean you don't want to speak? Some of these are backwards. Hank Waterworth? And, you know, if you agree with the previous speaker's comment, if you could just state so, that certainly helps us, because we've got a lot of cards. And this is the second time I should mention, in 6 years I've been on this board, that we've had a state revolving fund not on a consent item. We normally, these are not issues that we even take up.
My name is Hank Waterworth. Excuse me, my little laryngitis today. I'm a 20-year resident of Los Osos, and I live right directly on the bay. I'm also the vice chair for the local fire department appeals board. I'm retired. I have grandchildren in the area, and they're teenagers, and they're telling me right now that they probably won't be able to live in Los Osos because of the water quality, the bay intrusions, problems that our septics are causing. I'd like to change that. I'd like for them to have a place to live. I'd like them to buy a lot and build their home and raise their families there. As it stands right now, they probably won't be able to. I also would like my tax dollars that I pay to come back to my community. In the past, they haven't. Today, they are, most of them. And I'd like the future tax dollars to come back. The facts are there's really no good place to build a sewer. Yeah, nobody wants one. Especially the way we are now, we have our sewers in our yards. Every person that's here today that lives in the Prohibition Zone has their sewer in their yard. That's not a good place for a sewer either. The site that's been selected west of town, not in the center of town, by the way, it's west of town. And it's an opportunity for us to protect that part of town by beautifying the site after it's built. It's zoned right now for multi-residential property. Eventually, there's going to be a sewer, and that'll probably be a parking lot and a bunch of apartments. And what's better, a sewer that's beautified by the community that has concern, or a bunch of apartment buildings owned by somebody that doesn't really care, and a parking lot with a bunch of trash and so forth, as apartments normally do. The opponents have two basic reasons why they don't want the sewer where it's been ready to go, where it's ready to go. The main thing is the odor that it may cause, and the second thing is the expense. That's what they're trying to sell to our community, and doing a pretty good job of it so far. I live directly on the bay, and I can tell you this, that sewer will never have the odor that bay has when it's dry at low tide. And it hasn't hurt the property values there, by the way. There's a mobile park in town that has a septic system on Ramona Avenue. It's one of the main thoroughfares in our street and our city. And then when that thing erupts and backs up like it often does, the odor is horrible there. The odor when your septic backs up and your leach field fails is a tremendous odor also. The proponents, however, are trying to meet all of the state agency's requests, and to date they have. I think that we have no choice but to move forward on this sewer. we've done our current board and our general manager has done a superb job in meeting all the state agencies and federal agencies' requirements. We're ready to go. We need more money because delays, the cost of construction continues to go up, the cost of real estate continues to go up. We have a site that's ready to go. We meet all the water quality control board's standards, and we need to move forward. The opposition's been using misinformation, trying to derail the thing, the litigation, and studies and restudies. This article just came out in our paper yesterday.
Okay.
And it's Bruce Buell answer to five or six pieces of misinformation that
no, I don't think we need to. It's not in the record.
That has been put out by the opponents of the system, and it's a constant situation. Our board meetings, there's cat calls, there's embarrassments. It's terrible what's going on in our community. We just need to move along, get the money from you. If you'll allow us to do it, please give us the money. Let us move forward. Okay. 20 years ago when this thing was going on, we could have built the sewer for $34 million at the cost of maybe $50 a month. Now it's $150. It's going to be $200. It's going to be $250 if we don't get going on this thing. We need the money. We need your support. And here's a letter that the water board wrote to on December 7th.
We've got all
just
that
give me one more one
okay,
more minute, if you will. $10,000 a day fines. If we get these $10,000 a day fines, our community will last 100 days because we have $1 million. At the end of 100 days, this system will go back to the county. The county will take it over. Maybe take two or three more years to get up to speed and get the thing going. And the two directors that were just elected will no longer be representing us, and neither will the other three. So please, please give us the money and the time to do this thing and comply with all the agencies that are requiring our cooperation. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we're going to have to start strictly limiting to 3 minutes. We're going to be here a while, probably through lunch at the rate it's going. So, and all of us have some of us have previous commitments starting a few minutes ago. So with that, if you agree with the previous speaker, if you could just say they made your points and you agree, that's we've got plenty of information in the record. We don't do this on popular vote. This is based on the facts and the information before us and complying with the law. This isn't an environmental review process here that's been done. This is strictly, we're talking about a loan and complying with the requirements of a loan. With that, is that Madeline Pidego?
Yes.
And then Vivian McNeil after that. Try to give you a heads up.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and board members. And now that you've asked to have this limited and I prepared for 3 minutes, let me see if I can cut it down. So if it gets a little choppy or I raise some questions, please feel free to stop me for clarification, because I'm going to try to cut in and out to get the main points.
Thank you.
My name is Madeline Pedigo, and I reside on the Bay on Mitchell Drive. I currently am a business owner and have been for 30 years a small business owner. I own two laundromats. I'm well understand of water, wastewater, and costs of water, probably more graphically than most people because of the laundromat business, sewer charges, and et cetera, which is extensive. My background is I was a Cal Poly student, and they've changed the name. It used to be Cal Poly. It's University of California at San Luis Obispo, and Pepperdine University graduate. I currently hold an MBA. I wanted to address, and I'll try to do it quickly and expeditiously, the sewer project's important to the economic condition of Los Osos and the resulting wave of short-sightedness that have come from this torrent of bad press and misinformation that's been put out to the community. So first we'll talk a little bit about the fact that the current project limits the growth of Los Osos to 5,000 total sewer hookups available, or 5,000 persons or 2,500 hookups. In that mix, it's limited to 66 per year. You have businesses that are currently 70% of the, let me back up, 70% of the persons in Los Osos are commuting outside of the Los Osos area to work. And the businesses that are existing there, which are particularly retail sales, food service business, other than a new branch of Starbucks, decided to take a chance in this very small community. It's been successful. The only other notable new business startup was Ralph, which everybody appreciates. Currently, what's happening, without these businesses' ability to make hookups or expand their businesses, they have to go outside the Los Osos area with a loss of revenue. They have to go either for cheaper rents or the ability to get a hookup for a bathroom. So what you have is a deteriorating community on the economic level that's either withering and dying because there is zero growth at this particular period of time. If you have the sewer moved to another location, which could be a very costly location, it'll go back on the property owners, not renters, not people who do not have a vested interest in the land, the business, or the property of the local community. Therefore, that accelerated cost, there is no such thing as cheap land anywhere in California, let alone on the Central Coast, let alone along a bay with the attractiveness that Morro Bay and Los Osos have in the shared bay area. So there's not going to be a cheaper location, and the delays will make the costs go up. Then it will probably go be fined out of business at the Quality Control Board. It will go to the county of San Luis Obispo, which typically then will not allow this growth to happen at all under the control of the autonomy of the local town. So the revenues will then go to the county and possibly to other projects. And the example of this is currently the streets in Los Osos have no revenue to maintain or pave the streets, and you won't have a board deciding any autonomy. The local community, the local businesses, the residents and the property owners that bear this cost while it's polluting the bay in its existing condition, in a serious condition, need this progress to go forward. I had a lot more to say, but I'm going to go ahead and shorten it. Please, just so you know, these green signs are pro-sewer. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Vivian McNeil, then John.
Sauerland.
Okay.
My name is Vivian McNeil, and I live in and am a homeowner in the Los Osos Prohibition Zone. We've owned our home for 15 and a half years and been full-time residents for 8 and a half. I have a baccalaureate degree in microbiology with a chemistry minor. I am licensed by the state of California as a clinical laboratory scientist. I retired after more than 21 years in a hospital laboratory, where most of the time I served as the blood bank transfusion service supervisor. I became involved with the wastewater project in 2000 because of my concerns over the possibility of the spread of waterborne diseases such as hepatitis from the leaking septic systems in Los Osos. In the low-lying areas of Los Osos, where there is little or no separation between septic tanks, leach fields, and the groundwater. In fact, many of those septic tanks, when we have rains like we've been having, are actually floating in the groundwater. Children play in puddles. They ride their bicycles through, and it's too much, and they go flop. Water goes in their mouth, okay? Oral fecal contamination. The septic has contaminated the water. The kids swallow viruses, bacteria, and become ill. I am concerned about that. I've been a member of the Wastewater Committee since February of 2001, and I have read all of the reports, all the studies that have been done on the need for the sewer, the contamination, the pollution. And it's time to move forward now. I urge you to extend the state revolving fund loan and let Los Osos move forward, and this does not mean forward out of town. It means forward at the current site with the current plan design as proposed, and I live three short blocks south of the proposed sewer site, and I have no problems with it. I do not believe that odor will be a problem. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. After John is Don Williams, is on deck.
Good morning, Chairman Baggett and members of the board. My name is John Sarwin. 26 years ago, I moved to Los Osos. It's a wonderful community to live in. Professionally, my background is economics and finance. I happen to own a business with my wife, a storage facility. And I'm here just to talk real briefly about lost grants. We've lost a $550,000 park monies for improvements on the wastewater site. We had $200,000 set aside for community block grants for low-income people. That's gone by the wayside. We're hoping that the $500,000 water conservation project will be approved, but we'll need our coastal development permit this month. And unfortunately, with the uncertainty with some of the lawsuits, Congressman Capps pulled the $65 million federal monies a while ago. Two other real quotes and I'll be done. We've also spent over $400,000 in legal fees to defend the district, which the appellants have lost. I agree with what the previous speakers have said. It's time for us to move forward and sewer the town. So let's preserve the bay and sewer today. Thank you.
Thank you. Don Williams and Tina Peterson.
Well, I was going to say good morning, but now I'll have to be good afternoon, Chairman Baggett and the rest of the board members. My name is Dawn Williams, and I'm here to read a letter from one of our Los Osos, and it is Los Osos, residents who was unable to come, and it's a short letter, so I hope you'll bear with me. My name is Bonnie Derringer. I live at 1390 Los Olivos Avenue in Los Osos. I have lived in Los Osos for 5.5 years. I came from Redlands, California, after I retired from the State of California Department of Mental Health. But more than that, I served in the United States Navy Medical Corps. I have been trained to know how contamination can be a health hazard and how to avoid such things from happening. My four daughters were ages 10 to 11 to 1 year old when we moved to Redlands, California from Riverside County in 1969. I was a single parent working and going to school to earn a degree in psychiatric, technical, and social sciences. I never suspected that my daughter's health was being affected by the water in Redlands. It tasted fine and better than Riverside's for sure. What I did not know is that nearby Norton Air Force Base had contaminated the water tables by way of the Santa Ana River, which served water from the mountain areas through Riverside County and some parts of Orange County. When this was discovered, it cost the county of San Bernardino $33 million to clean it up. When my three oldest daughters were in their late 20s and early 30s, they were diagnosed with symptoms of tumors, one on the pituitary gland and one daughter with tumors on her thyroid and kidney. The third daughter had symptoms of endocrine problems, and after she married, she lost 5 pregnancies and experienced many postpartum complications. This happened in their most productive years of working at careers and being parents. They were all three diagnosed at Loma Linda University Hospital in Loma Linda, California. I am writing to you not to ask, but beg you to do whatever you can to help us fund this most advanced technical wastewater management plant. I am asking, too, that you consider the health of the children of Los Osos, most of all, where others have not. Our children are our most important asset. We cannot neglect them any longer with this insane battle of 30 years' duration. I ask you to remember, they have no voice. Who will speak for them and their future? Thank you very much, Bonnie Derringer, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm going to have to leave for 30 minutes. What's the board's pleasure? Do you want to take a break or keep going further through the workshop? Okay. I will be back in 30. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. Good afternoon, board. My name is Tina Peterson, and I live in Los Osos full-time, and I'm a renter. I've lived in Los Osos for most of the last 28 years. I've attended the City and Regional Planning Program at California Polytechnical University in San Luis Obispo. I'll be returning to finish my senior project soon, which will complete the baccalaureate program and award me with the degree. I have worked as a planner in some level for the last 10 years. My last position was as an environmental planner for an environmental management consulting agency. I understand the crisis Los Osos is facing, and the only remedy is this sewer. We need this sewer, and the majority of the community is supportive and wants to move forward. The CSD's project will clean up the Los Osos groundwater basin, eliminate the contaminated groundwater discharge into Morro Bay, and will replenish the Los Osos groundwater basin for future water supply. The CSD has been working very hard in pursuing compliance with the regional board's time schedule order and is on track to start construction next summer, in spite of the opposition. The sewer opponents are vehemently opposing current efforts to build a treatment facility. They have sued multiple times in courts and lost. They promoted a grand jury investigation and lost. They tried a recall and lost. Now they're trying another recall. This one will lose, too. And in the meantime, they've created conflict throughout our town. Their delaying tactics have cost our community millions and are making the project even more expensive. The opponents have not offered any evidence to support their claim that they have a less expensive, viable project. We need to move forward before the price gets even higher. Please support your staff report and recommend the SRF loan for Los Osos. Thank you.
Thank you. Renee Peterson.
My name is Phyllis Snyder. I did sign the slip and said no, I wasn't going to speak, but okay. Now that I am hearing you, I want to. I have been a resident of Los Osos, three blocks above the Tri-W site since 1962, and I myself have paid the taxes. And also, I am a public health nurse. I graduated from the University of California, and I have been a public health nurse in San Luis Obispo County, with my district being right there in Los Osos, and Morro Bay, and sometimes even in Oceano. Yes, I am concerned about the septic tank contamination of the water. I raised three children. My daughter has raised four children in Los Osos, and I still am concerned. And so I live next door to Vivian McNeil, and I too want to see us move forward and build the site. It's not offensive to me. It's just below me. It's a very nice site, and also I don't think it's in the center of town. The center of town's over a little farther where the shops are. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Renee Peterson.
I'm not used to public speaking, so just bear with me. Good afternoon, Mr. Carlton, Mr. Silva, Ms. Solti, is that?
Sully.
Okay. Mr. Katz. My name is Renee Peterson. My mom has just spoken before. I live in Los Osos and have lived there for most of my 20 years. I'm a student at Cuesta College in San Luis Obispo. My mom, who has already spoken, has been in college for most of her life. So I've learned a lot about her environmental planning along the way. And I also see the crisis that Los Osos is facing. My mom also was the third person who ran against Schicker and Tacker, and she was the only one willing to go against their file campaign. I also want to say that the opponent's proposed site does not officially exist. They have not sent out any proposals to the county They have not gone through the Regional Water Quality Board. There is no schematics that exist of this proposed sewer that they claim. Doesn't exist. There's lots of, I understand that there's lots of competition for a lot of loans. You see communities every day, and you don't face this challenge. And I would like to thank you for your patience and your belief in Los Osos. I believe that I represent the majority of the community, and that we are ready to go. Please recommit to the loan. Thank you.
Thank you. Dick Sargent?
Dick Sargent, Los Osos. I want to expedite things. I'm in favor of this loan, and I'm hoping that you don't table. I hope you vote today. And I don't care what you do, but let's get it out of here. Some 20 years, 30 years, I don't know. At any rate, the board is, I have a lot of faith in their judgment over these years, and you folks too. So I have faith that you're going to vote in our favor. I'll be able to build a house. My kids will be able to carry on after I'm dead and gone. So anyway, you guys, carry on.
Thank you
for patience.
Yeah, just a note, again, this is just a workshop. We're going to hopefully take a vote at our next meeting, but this is just a workshop today. John Perkins?
I was going to say Mr. Chairman and board members, but Mr. Chairman is not in the room. So, board members, thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. My name is John Perkins, and I'm a concerned citizen of Los Osos. I'm concerned that if you don't recommit the loan today, we will continue to pollute Morro Bay and our groundwater, and the approved plan would be more expensive. I've been a full-time resident homeowner in Los Osos neighborhood of Cuesta by the Sea for more than 15 years. I retired from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, where I was chief of the planning and control branch of the real estate division of the Los Angeles District. I now spend much of my time volunteering for the Morro Coast Audubon Society. My function with the chapter is to manage properties that the chapter owns. The septic system in my neighborhood are either just inches above the groundwater or are in the groundwater. We pollute the groundwater every time we flush our toilets. This pollution, of course, will in time affect our drinking water. I stated before that I manage the lands owned by the Audubon Society. One of these properties is our Sweet Springs Nature Preserve. It is located on the southern shore of Morro Bay in our community, Los Osos. It was named for the freshwater springs that feed two freshwater ponds in the preserve. For nearly 1,000 years, there was a seasonal Kumash village nearby. They utilized the springs as a water source. Just a month ago, on the 8th of December, 2004, I had a test made of the water coming directly from the spring. This was not from the pond, but from the spring, just as it flows from the ground. The coliform count was 920.8. The National Estuary Program tester informs me that this reading is nearly five times the accepted reading of 200. The nearby septic systems, partly from the leach field of the mobile home park directly across the street from the stream, from the spring, caused this high count. I told you before that I am retired and on a limited fixed income. When I bought my home 15 years ago, the real estate broker was upfront concerning the costs, potential costs associated with the yet-to-be-constructed sewer. I quickly did a stubby pencil check of my finances and decided that I could afford the project. In the 15 years that have passed, the costs have increased tremendously, mainly by delays caused by the opponents. I'm not so sure that I can afford the sewer now, not without some alternative methods, but any further delays will only make the project more expensive. As you see, our wastewater is polluting the groundwater and Morro Bay. I urge you to approve the state revolving fund loan so that we may move forward and save our dream. Start the process of cleaning up the groundwater before it gets more expensive. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Pandora Nash Carner.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Honorable Board. I know you're going to ask me to stand up any minute now. My name is Pandora Nash Carner. My family has owned land in Los Osos since, for over 50 years. My husband and I have built a house 25 years ago and live on the bay. I own a business, and I've been involved in the sewer project since the 80s, first as an opponent, then as a member of the solution group, and I know I've come before Mr. Baggett before, because we were convinced that, and we tried valiantly to come up with a faster, better, cheaper alternative. Then I came to you as a proponent of the creation of the CSD, and then I was on the first board of directors and chaired the wastewater committee. It's from that perspective that I wanted to share a few thoughts with you today, and I don't think anyone else is going to address this. I find that the similarities between what we as the solution group tried to do and what the current opposition is suggesting are very similar. Like the opposition today, we absolutely could not believe how could it possibly cost as much money as the county claimed to build a sewer plant, retrofit a community of 5,000 homes? How could it have been? We spent a year creating a very technical study on how to do it faster, better, cheaper. Like the opposition, we didn't want people displaced because of the monthly cost of the project, and we share those same values, but we differ now on how to get there. As the new board, the CSD proceeded to design a plan which included a step stag collection system and a ponding system, but we discovered that there wasn't enough data to prove the nitrate reduction that was required by your board and the regional board. So we had to move on to more traditional technology, and that's exactly what this CSD board has done. They have cutting-edge technology that is going to reduce the nitrates to the levels required. Since 1984, 13 alternative studies have been completed, and the cost of the project has gone from $34.6 million in 1984 to $110 million today, and it's currently going up by $16,000 a day. The opponents are proposing alternative technology very similar to what we did as the solution group and what the CSD has already done, but it's already been studied and it's already been denied. We can't afford a 14th study. We need to move forward and we need your help. We can't afford this project without you, and we can't afford to continue to allow the bay to suffer, our drinking water to suffer, and the nitrates keep rising as we speak. We just can't wait any longer. We really need your help. Please help us move forward, and please support your staff report by extending the loan and letting us move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Gail McPherson.
Good afternoon. There are several speakers who would like to address the board and just tell you about our concern about the cost of the sewer project as well as the technology. In the original document that was submitted in 2000, which went and asked for $47 million and then on top of that the $65 million to build that, it was estimated at that point to cost $96 million in some of the letters and correspondence. Part of that was going to be funded with a bond. And so I just want to start out kind of giving you that number, because I know what we're concerned about is the technology that's been selected during a VE, the value engineering phase. And during that value engineering phase, they didn't look at what they had. They chose something new. And by doing so, they did not conduct the alternative analysis that would give us the total cost. Additionally, they deferred parts of the project. Now, I want you to imagine a treatment plant, whether it's the middle of the town or next to the park. I mean, if it's a little this way or that way, this is a very small community. It's definitely what you'd call in the middle of town. I didn't introduce myself as a wastewater professional. I worked for the city of Riverside for over 20 years.
I was in the field for 22. I built dozens of treatment plants. I've been through the state revolving fund loan process. And it's a great process if you really, really follow it. If you don't just put together a checklist and say, this looks like a water management plan, put it in the box and check it off. This looks like a VE study. Unfortunately, we don't know what the full costs are, and we truly do believe that we will spend every dime you give us. And we're very concerned that that means that we'll pay over $200 a month. Now, I don't live in the Prohibition Zone. I felt like it was not only an honor to talk to you today, but an obligation to my community. I'm retired. I've been involved in environmental enhancement projects, cost savings. We had projects that were going to cost $22 million, and we managed to build them for $2 to $3 million. There's innovative solutions. Unfortunately, I've used all of the documents, the district's own documents, to come up with a plan that puts the plant out of town. Now, it's on video. They show, here is the plant. It fits on this piece of property. Now, this isn't a $12 million park. This is the problem. They tried to build a park with sewer funds. They have a tot lot at the sewer plant right now. Now, I don't know if you've been to too many sewer plants. I suggest you probably have. But tot lots are absolutely not compatible, even if you really, really want them and are willing to pay $12 million for mitigation property on an Esha land site when there's fallow farmland close by. Now, this was the preferred, environmentally preferred, socially preferred, economically preferred alternative in that document that you had before you for the state revolving fund loan back in 2001. That is what you approved. But now we look at other technology. We have much more expensive our O&M costs in this project. If you look at the revenue plan, originally in the first document, we had $500,000. Then it went to $1.8 million in O&M. We're up to $2.5 million. We're talking about sustainability. So this isn't just the capital costs that we're looking at. I wondered how we ended up with a sewer in the middle of town. And this is just 8 months ago. Every person that I've worked with and I am working with are either engineers or scientists. We all have experience, many years of experience. We aren't saying we don't want a plant. We're not saying don't give us money. All we're saying is, please, we've got to go back through and do the process right for the fund loan. This facility won't be odor-free. They'll mitigate odors. We know mitigate means sometimes there will be odors. The community doesn't get that. They've been lied to. They've been told that they're going to have a drop-dead gorgeous plant that'll look like a park. It will be buried in the middle of town. Now, this plant is 40 feet high. It's industrial. It will have odors occasionally. It will spill occasionally. I mean, we don't want to say that up front, but they all spill. I'm just amazed that we're still walking around with so many misconceptions within our community. And it is the very PR person that they hired who spoke before you today that has given most of the impression that we will be fined personally. Now, I have the documents. They said we will be fined personally $10,000 a day. And people have been so afraid they call up and they say, gosh, if they're going to fine me, what will I do? Well, vote for the assessment. Now, to me, that's just plain patently wrong.
Could you wrap up? I've given you 5 minutes
already. I'm sorry. I have other people that will speak about the project and about the funding concerns that they have, and then we'll just wrap it up with this short video we brought. So I'll just call them up one at a time very quickly. Steve, would you like to start?
I'm sorry, did you give cards?
Yeah, well, you have a stack of cards. Okay. I believe this is Steve Sawyer.
Okay.
Thank you, Board. My name is Steve Sawyer. I'm a 13-year resident and business owner in Los Osos. I'm here today to talk to you about the overwhelming controversy about this project. I'm a spokesman for the Los Osos CSD Recall Committee, and I'm here today to ask your board to deny the Los Osos CSD's request for an increase in the state revolving fund loan. We do want the loan, we just don't want the increase. We want to stress that the community does not want this loan. When I say community, I mean the majority of Los Osos residents that I represent here today. not the small vocal minority you see waving green signs behind me. This community has spoken at the ballot box, at every public meeting dealing with this issue, in the media, and now with our recall attempt. The current CSD board is asking for this loan increase, knowing full well that they may not hold office much longer. Our committee is in the process right now of gathering signatures to recall the three board members that support this project and are asking you to increase this loan today.
I've got a question for you. I'm tell you what I'm a little confused by. You want the loan but not the increase. Coastal Commission put all sorts of conditions and bells and whistles on the project. The loan is project specific. So what are you going to do with the loan without the increased amount to take care of the additional requirements that Coastal and others have put on the project?
Well, I'm going to get to that in a little bit, but just to answer your question quickly, I think that we have the ability to build a wastewater project to suit our needs with the existing loan amount. I think if we're given the opportunity to do what our group is asking, that we'll be able to accomplish
that. The loan is project specific. It's the project that's before us. It's not for some other project. It's for this project only. So explain. I'm trying to understand your point of view in terms of wanting the loan but rejecting the increased money that all of the people who are looking at this say is necessary to meet with the conditions that Coastal and others put on the project. So help me with that.
So you're telling me that if we change the project, then this loan goes away?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
clear,
the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to ask the staff, but...
I think that Gail can probably address that better than me.
I'm asking you. I don't want to get into Gail's credibility, okay? So I'm asking you the question.
I answered.
Okay. A question for staff. I just want to make sure. I think Richard's point is well taken. I think our problem, I think, is we're either going to accept all of it or none of it, I think.
Yeah, we can only go with what's been presented to us by the district,
right.
And that's a $93 million loan request,
right.
That includes a $78 million construction.
There
that's
is right.
No other project that we can consider.
Yeah, I think that's your point, right, Richard?
And even if we were to reject, assume for a second we were to agree with this gentleman and reject the amendment, the balance is for the project that's before us only. And the district would have to come up with a way to for that $20 million gap. It's not apply this to something else. It's
correct.
It's not a blank check that you get to spend on whatever you want.
Right.
You get to spend it on the project that's before you.
Correct.
Before us.
And if there was a new project, they'd go to the end of the – how long is the line for the SRF?
Well, there's probably about 21 projects competing for funding right now. There's actually 9 that have a place in line by – establishing a facilities plan approval date, and they amount to about $90 million.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
Well, you know, just to respond to that, I'm basing my information off of what I hear from people in the community and from people that are involved in this directly. Lisa Schicker was told yesterday by this gentleman right here something different than what we just heard. So if maybe she can address that.
Well, let me explain something. No.
No, wait. Wait.
Hold on. A couple things. First of all, we make the ultimate decision what we do,
uh-huh.
With all due respect to everybody else. And I think it's pretty clear that our belief is this is money for this specific project.
Right.
And if it's not for this project, y'all get to start all over again at the bottom of the list with everybody else. Now, I think that's what you ought to take into account when you're making your comments.
If we're misunderstanding that, Darren or Ann, somebody needs to just let's be really clear about this.
Right. In my conversations with Lisa Schicker and Julie Tacker yesterday afternoon, it would not be impossible for them to come back. If you approve this $93 million loan for the project before us, and if the community decides to change their mind at some point in the future, they could come back and ask you to change the project. But you would basically then need to recommit and consider that, and that's at this board's discretion on how they want to treat that. You could say that they would go back to the beginning, behind the people that have projects willing to go forward at that point.
Well, I think that's what we just said.
Yes.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I think I speak for my colleagues too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I guess given the amount of people that are waiting in line, I mean, I would look very unfavorably on trying to save, quote unquote, save money for another project.
Okay, so
at this
so
point,
I agree. So I just ask everyone who's come here been asking us not to approve this today. Understand that what you're in effect saying is don't approve the 93. It's not a don't approve the 20. Don't approve the amendment. It's no money, zero, period. So if that's what you want us to do, that's what you ought to be saying. But to say we don't want the amendment is just bad information, and you're creating a false impression back in the community that there's something available that's not.
Well, I don't know how to continue with that. That's information that is totally contrary to what we've been told.
Well,
so
it's information from the four of the five people that are voting on it. So
yeah,
the buck stops here or starts here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You've had your 5 minutes.
I was going to call up the other ones. But if you want to do that, that's fine.
No, it's up to you. That's fine. No, you had your 3 minutes anyway, so.
Well, go ahead. You have the cards in front of you.
No, it's up to you. If you want to do some particular orders, fine.
Yeah. No, that's fine. You have the cards. Go ahead. I would like to make a comment to finish, though, at the end.
Okay. James, is it CAC? That's how you pronounce it. Or TAC, I'm sorry.
James Tkach, 15-year resident of Los Osos, 30-year resident of Morro Bay, Los Osos area. The information that Mr. Katz gave us is new information. We prepared a large packet here today to try and come to you to tell you we want the loan very badly. We need the loan. We do need a project for Los Osos. We do not oppose a project for Los Osos. We just oppose this specific project. And the reason is because of the high cost to the citizens of Los Osos for the technology that was selected late in the design process, the membrane bioreactor, and perhaps reverse osmosis that may be added later. That's not included as the cost of the project. There are several other phases of the project where the cost is deferred until later, which means further costs and maybe coming back to you later. So that's why it's a little bit of a concern to me, and I'll limit my comments today to just say we wish you would look at the documentation that we provided. We do, in those reports, we prepared it in good faith. We do want to work with you. We do want to work with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. We do want to solve the problem. We just like to see it done for a much lower cost, and we believe that that can be done. As the solutions group and some of the members of the board that were elected on that platform felt, and we still feel, especially with emerging technologies, that can be done. And we feel that's a fiscally responsible thing to do for taxpayer funds that you'll be giving to us and to help the citizens of the community keep their costs down. So thank you.
Thank you. Chuck Cesena?
Good afternoon, Board. My name is Chuck Cesena. I'm a 20-year resident and homeowner in Los Osos, and I'm one of the people who live with high groundwater. I know we need a sewer. We've needed one for a long time. Until a year ago, I was a proponent of this plan of our CSD, and then I read the technical background. Prior to that, I had relied on the EIR that they had released in 2001 for my information. The Los Osos Technical Task Force and all community members who oppose this current plan have been labeled as anti-sewer, anti-growth. We are neither. We just want a more sustainable, environmentally friendly plan that's not in the middle of town. The ironic thing is that it was the CSD who wanted the plant in the middle of town on a small parcel so that you could not expand the size of that plant and therefore you could control growth in town. They were the anti-growth people. But they weren't honest enough to discuss that with us. In the EIR, they told us that the reason for not picking the environmentally preferred out-of-town location was so they could give us parks and a lower cost of a collection system. Imagine our surprise when we found out later on that their own facilities plan identified that out-of-town environmentally preferred location as the cheapest alternative in terms of life cycle cost. It was always cheaper out of town. Another strange fact is, in spite of the CSD's original intent to be able to limit growth by putting the plant in the middle of town, we now find that this plant is oversized by 33% above our projected build-out population. I didn't think your guidelines allowed you to fund oversized plants. Is this a process failure?
And this is in spite of the fact that we may never get to accommodate our build-out population because of a lack of water. Groundwater, saltwater intrusion studies that are part of the groundwater management plan, which are required by your guidelines to be completed before a plant is sized, won't even be done until May. So how can we size the plant if we don't know what our water resources really are? Again, that's part of your guidelines that haven't been followed. There is no habitat conservation plan or coastal development permit that has been approved yet. There are tentative approvals out there. They are not been, the conditions haven't been satisfied. Why the rush to increase the loan amount for a project that isn't ready to go? Recent sampling has documented that the average nitrate loading in our groundwater monitoring wells is little over 11 milligrams per liter. For a $110 million project, we're going to take that down to 10 milligrams per liter over 30 years. Is that cost effective? Aren't you stewards of the public trust in terms of the tax dollars you're going to loan us as well as water resources in this state? Our community is being made to fund a project that's going to cost us between $140 and $225 a month each for a project that's the most environmentally unfriendly and unsustainable and disruptive to our community of any that have been presented in the last 20 years. This is the worst project that's been proposed in 20 years. Is there a way out of this dilemma? In this report that we prepared, there is a report by a registered professional engineer who deals in wastewater treatment systems, Dana Ripley. His conclusions are the alternative plan outside of town would solve these problems. It would be approved by the Regional Board, Department of Health Services. There is a way out of this that's a lot cheaper. It's not going to put this plant in the middle of town. And I ask you to hold off on committing more money to a bad project. And I wish that you'd grant consideration to listen. Thank you.
Thank you. George Taylor.
Good afternoon, Board. My name is George Taylor. I'm a 32-year resident of Los Osos. This is the wrong plant in the wrong place at the wrong cost. This plant does not belong in the middle of town, and the majority of Los Osos residents have told this to our Los Osos CSD board. This is why we have two new board members, lawsuits, revocation of the permits, and a recall in process. Rob Miller presented a pond treatment system at the November board meeting in an effort to compare the capabilities and price. Mr. Miller stated that while data on denitrification rates was not widely available, the system was fully capable of meeting Title 22 permit requirements. The cost? About one third. And Mr. Miller, to make it plain, he's the CSD engineer. This was very attractive since a presentation to set rates based on the project cost of nearly $114 million resulted in bi-monthly rates of $314 per household. $157 per month followed. While directors suggested that we give up Starbucks or some if maybe mean paying the sewer or their prescription drugs. Why haven't we had a choice? Why haven't we known about the cost until the 11th hour? Why is District Manager Bruce Buell working to speed the unacceptable in-town plant to construction when the plans are flawed and incomplete? The board passed all four key decisions necessary for moving forward on the current project without listening or responding to the citizens. The citizens of Los Osos are asking for the following. One, recommend that the State Water Board suspend or postpone any decision to commit to the loan to current project on January 4th. This will stop CSD from going out to bid on January 5th with two new board members in opposition to the project just taking office, community opposition rising, pending lawsuits, coastal permit revocation, and a recall in the works. This is an unwise use of public funds. Two, call for a complete independent financial audit, management audit, and cost-benefit analysis for all wastewater treatment plan project components as of today has never been done with current design and is as required for the use of the state funds. Three, call for a CSD top-to-bottom management slash performance review in light of the fire tax lawsuits, revenue plan discrepancies, deferred and hidden costs not yet disclosed, sludge handling, harvest well disposal, efficient effluent fields, etc., bonds and budget shortfalls, and contract irregularities, conflict of interest of General Manager Bruce Beal leadership, and fiduciary practices. I recommend that CSD wait for required engineering studies before design projects, saltwater intrusion, and groundwater management plan are still incomplete and have major implications on the design of the wastewater facility.
Yeah, again, I want to emphasize, I'm reminding you again that we're only voting. When we take a vote, it will be only to approve the loan. I don't think we're going to get into any kind of investigations. This is a local issue. Again, you know, our action is going to be limited to the request for the loan. And so, again, that's going to be the limit of our actions.
I realize what you just said, but I also realize that you have a hand that you can use to govern what happens to the money. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a longtime resident of Los Osos. I worked with and was associated with the former executive director of the Water Quality Control Board, Mr. Ken Jones. This is back in 1973 when the Water Basin Plan was first developed for our area. I am a political activist, not as much as I used to be, but I do care about our community, and our community is suffering with the promises and the potential of being moved out of our area because we cannot afford the expenditures that are proposed for this sewer project. Please, please think about this when you are pretending to get more monies to the community. Call for an assessment vote audit and investigation of voter fraud intimidation by the CSD. Call for postponement of loan until alternative project reports can be presented to the community. We've not seen these. We've had a lot of spin. There's been a lot of talk, and there has never been a determination of what are our alternatives. Call for a postponement of the loan until the CSD revocation of permit received a public hearing and a determination. Call on the regional and state water boards to negotiate time order 00131 with the people instead of threatening fines, threatening to take our homes, threatening to make us move because we cannot afford what they are proposing. Request studies to help Los Osos CSD fund an alternative study. Money has been spent on downtown land costs on Tri-W and Broderson. Encourage help. Seek small community assistance and reorganization of the debt that will likely be required. There is a real possibility that the CSD could go under, in other words, bankruptcy. Encourage and call on the local CSD and San Luis Obispo County to determine total community infrastructure costs first and our ability to pay, including water, wastewater, drainage, parks, roads, and etc. These are parts that the county is responsible for. The Estero plan update and completion of the HCP has not taken place. Call for a social economic study as required by CEQA and the SFR loan guidelines. Call for completion of compliance with all environmental laws as required by NEPA and CEQA and the SFR guidelines. Call for a vote of the people on location, cost, and project type. We have taxation and threat of losing our homes without representation. Are we going to go through the English law? We are not being represented. Representatives are supposed to help us if they can. Thank you.
Thank you. Keith Swanson. How long is it? No. Mr. Swanson, you have 3 minutes.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I think you all got a copy of this sent to you anyways as a video about the controversy that's involved in Los Osos about this project. I got involved in this project or this whole mess because I didn't want it in the middle of town. And it's sort of has grown to the cost of it and the knowledge that there was another location out of town that would have been cheaper. It was in their EIR. It would have been cheaper. It would have saved us $10 million. That's why it's my understanding as far as the project is concerned now, if you give the opportunity through the agencies to allow the CSD to work with, I believe, the majority of the community that wants to move the sewer out of town, if you can afford them that opportunity and retain and recommit the loan so that we can build a sewer plant for the amount that has already been designated and no more. They say they want the sewer built because they want to start developing. The people that support building the sewer are realtors, developers, friends and families of consultants. That's what this is all about. There is no guarantee that you build a sewer that any of these things can happen, that they can develop. They talk about flooding. Are there any tests out there about the flooding? The problem with flooding in Los Osos is we have no storm water conveyance. We have a problem and the water just pools in areas. I also have a video I can give to you. Actually, it's photographs of the last storm and how the water collected at Tri-W. Water running down from Roderson, water collecting throughout the community. There's a flood problem in Los Osos. That's another infrastructure project that we're going to have to be asking for money. I don't know, there's so many things that were said today. The passion for me is I just want to move the sewer, and I think we can do it for less money. I believe that. I'm asking you guys to recommit this loan and force the CSD, who just spends like I've never seen any agency spend, to control them. Give them limits. Give them a cap on their credit limit. Thank you.
Thank you. Al Barrow?
Hello again. How are you? I have a question, if I might ask Mr. Katz. I don't presume to be. You people see so many projects. You see so many problems, and I appreciate your knowledge. And you wouldn't be sitting there if you didn't have something background. I want to know why you want to give them another $27 million. Now, what I mean by that, the $27 million increase of the loan, what is it for? Is it going to go to reverse osmosis? Is it going to go to the project that was planned in the project report that they bought for the loan?
I'll tell you, actually, I'd rather take all $93 million and fund the next nine projects in line. That's what I'd rather do, because $25 million of that actually goes to my home county in Los Angeles. So I'd be perfectly happy to take all $93 million away from Los Osos and distribute among the next nine projects in line.
That's not the question, Mr. Katz.
And oh, yeah,
I think
is.
That was a rude comment.
I appreciate your point of view, but the reality is...
I want you
is,
to tell me what the $27 million is for.
The $27 million is for the completion of the project based on the changes and modifications by the Regional Board and the State Coastal Commission.
Yeah, but what are they? Because I can tell you for a fact that their project is a $65 million loan. It was a $93 million project. They have enough money as it stands right now with the $25 million. They have an assessment. They have $4 million, as Director Hensley said. They have funding. They have enough money to pay for this. The Coastal Commission didn't ask them for huge amounts of things. Now, if you're talking about a reverse osmosis plant, you're looking at $300 million over the life of the project. Okay? Okay, did you know there's saltwater intrusion in our basin? New information. This project is not going to recharge our groundwater. Like, it's supposed to give us a safe basin yield. That's what this money's going to go for. There's $300 million in your account right now, roughly. You get $500 million a year. There are $32 million people in California, and you're going to get 14,000 people, almost a third of what you've got now, to accomplish what the gentleman says, to decrease the nitrogen by 1 milligram per liter over 35 years. And that's water board information. I'd like to make a clarification on the fines and the urgency of this project and the urgency of this loan today. There isn't any urgency in this loan today. The $10 million fine is if the CSD is at fault. There are two lawsuits, a revocation, and there's the recall, and there's also going to be an initiative to move the sewer out of town. So we have five things that are not their fault. There's no reason for this man over here to fine us $10,000 a day. That's the scare tactics that we've had since the 2001 assessment. Okay? There have been no fines. I want to know what the $27 million that you're going to loan them is for. I want to see it in writing, and I haven't seen it, so I'm really concerned about that. You're talking about $22,000 per household for this project to accomplish what? We're going to put our effluent water for beneficial reuse in our upper aquifer, which is already polluted and already overloaded. It's at the highest levels almost it's ever been. When our lower aquifer, which is 500 feet below, won't be receiving any of that water for 40 years. So you're not getting a beneficial reuse out of this project. You're only getting some water that the golf course has been getting that will change because of the sewer, because the Monarch Grove treatment plant is going to be hooked up to the sewer instead. And so that water is the only beneficial reuse we have. There's going to be some controversy about putting it on school properties. The quality of the water that we're talking about out of this plant is not drinking water. I think when you consider a loan on a project, you have to consider, does it meet the project goals? And that's the first paragraph of the state revolving fund guidelines. The project report, the EIR, this project does not meet our project goals. And what is the hurry? Don't you meet 11 times in a year? Is that right or wrong? Doesn't this board meet 11 times a year? Why do we have to have this approval today? Why can't we think about it? Aren't you being sued?
Could you wrap up a few five minutes already?
I am, sir. You're being sued right now about this project. Can't you wait until this lawsuit is resolved before you go ahead and commit this? If somebody told you to jump off the precipice, would you do it?
Depends on how high it is, I guess. No. I'm being facetious. God, can't get even. That's all the cards I have. Anybody else that I missed? Okay, thank you.
I just want to thank you for your patience. When we came, we sent our materials ahead, and we worked through Christmas to get them out to you. We didn't anticipate that a busload of people would come from Los Osos, but, you know, we didn't mean to make this a circus. But we do appreciate your time and your patience, and we do, again, ask that you postpone, perhaps give us the time to work this out within our own living room instead of coming to your house to make a mess.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, from my standpoint, I mean, obviously, there's a big, a little bit of a local fight there that we don't certainly want to get in the middle of. I think the decisions you make there at the local level should be your own. I think just from my perspective, I was there almost exactly 4 years ago when it was middle of a rainstorm, and it was pretty nasty, I have to tell you. I mean, when I saw the some of the septic tanks overflowing right into the streams there, I mean, I think it is necessary from what I saw, and from everybody says, I mean, it's taken too long, and having experience, I've been in the wastewater field a long time, and I got to tell you, I've never seen a project get cheaper if you wait. You know, I've never seen that happen. And again, the only decision we're making now is whether we give Los Osos the extension and also the increase in the SRF amount. So, from my standpoint, I don't want to wait. I want to move forward. Again, we're not voting today. It was going to be on our next agenda, but I don't see any reason to hold it up. Again, if you want to hold it up at the local level, again, be aware that you're going to lose. You may lose all that funding, and you have to make that call. We're very clear about it. I think for us now at this point, it's all or nothing. I mean, if you don't want the $93 million, then we won't give it to you. You can go out and find money wherever you want it. But, again, that's a local decision, ultimately. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm ready to vote for it when it comes up.
Yeah, I think we just need to be very clear. We're not going to hold a place in line indefinitely for Los Osos. There's a lot of other communities that need this money, and so this is going to be a take it or leave it. And you can start all over again if you want, but that seems to be a very perilous course to follow.
Gary, I guess my only question is: do we leave it on? I guess it's not on consent, right? So we'll leave it, obviously, not on consent. I guess that's our last item. We'll adjourn to closed session at 2:00. Thank you very much.